on expectation, on time, and on budget, guaranteed. Give Renovations a call at 831-620-1700 or visit Renovations on their website at renovations.net. And remember, tomorrow really matters, so tell a friend. And stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The campaigns for the Democratic nomination are headed for a wrap, or far from over, depending on to whom you are listening.
Resisting calls for her to throw in the towel, Hillary Clinton campaign in West Virginia cited the next presidential primary on Tuesday, putting aside her loss yesterday in North Carolina and very narrow victory in Indiana.
It's a new day, it's a new state, it's a new election, and I am thrilled to be able to make my first stop here.
Clinton said she had to lend her campaign another $6.4 million of her own money, but she said she is staying in the race until there's a nominee, and she insists it will be her. Mark Knoller, CBS News, Shepherdstown, West Virginia.
Oil to John Hartshi in Washington. The Obama campaign sees light at the end of the tunnel.
There's only 217 pledged delegates left. We are only 33 pledged delegates from achieving a majority of the pledged delegates. That will happen on the night of May 20th.
The date of primaries in Kentucky and Oregon. Obama spokesman David Plouffe in a conference call with reporters adds the Democratic Party will be unified despite a fierce contest and some rough feelings in both camps. Oil today closed above $123.50 a barrel. John Kilduff at MF Global explains why.
We have some major oil outages at the moment, particularly from the country of Nigeria, where there's over 1 million barrels a day of their oil offline, and we continue to have producing problems in other countries.
Stocks were down. The Dow lost 206. The Nasdaq fell nearly 45.
High prices are taking their toll.
The cost of food, gas, and essential items are rising very quickly, and not surprisingly, many families are turning to their credit cards to stretch their budget.
Consumer debt increased by more than $15 billion in March. Joe Rideout of Consumer Action.
This certainly is another bad sign for the economy going forward, and really calls into question the wisdom of the federal government essentially discouraging saving when it suggests that it's almost one's patriotic duty to spend your tax rebate.
He says it might be better to deposit that check in your savings account. Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Diplomats say there may be 100,000 people dead in Myanmar. Millions are homeless and in jeopardy without enough food or water. And the military junta has allowed virtually no one in to help since the cyclone.
This is not a matter of politics. This is a matter of a humanitarian crisis. And it should be a matter that the government of Burma wants to see its people receive the help that is available to them.
That's Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. It was Reverend Al Sharpton and hundreds of others.
Hallelujah!
Demonstrating and stopping traffic on purpose on New York's Brooklyn Bridge to protest a judge's decision to acquit police officers in Queens who shot a man to death after an altercation outside a nightclub. Many shots were fired. Protesters want a federal investigation. Sharpton was among those arrested today for blocking the traffic. This is CBS News.
Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and enter to win a Napa-branded iPod Nano. The amazingly lightweight and compact 4-gig Nano holds up to 2,000 songs, 4 to 8 hours of video, and up to 7,000 photos, which will look great on its backlit 4-color LCD display. One iPod Nano will be given away at each participating Napa Auto Parts store. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
You really ought to get some sleep tonight, you know?
Sleep is important.
And not getting enough sleep could have major health consequences.
Sleep is more than just being tired. It has implications for other aspects of your life.
A CDC study shows people who sleep less than 6 hours a night are more likely to be obese, more likely to smoke, or less physically active, and drink more. Lead author Charlotte Schonborn says it's not clear why.
There appear to be biological reasons.
So just how much sleep do we need?
The literature seems to suggest that 7 to 8 hours is optimal.
Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
Myrtle the turtle has been painted bright orange by some prankster in Brooklyn, New York, and some of the local residents are incensed, calling it inhumane and an abomination because they really liked Myrtle better when she didn't glow in the dark. That the turtle probably has no idea she's decorated so garishly is not the point for the animal lovers who say the paint remover would be bad for the shell, so now they'll just have to let it wear off. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. But what's with the 4 zillion people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Guys, despite several friendly reminders from JCPenney, some of you have still not prepared for Mother's Day, which, by the way, is still scheduled for Sunday, May 11th. So right now, you'd better hurry into JCPenney and get a dazzling deal, like 60 to 70% off our entire stock of sterling silver jewelry and 50% off all jewelry boxes and armoires. So hurry in. Frankly, with all these reminders, you're making us feel like a certain someone else who's had to nag you. Remember, JCPenney is a smart place to shop for all the beautiful women in your life. JCPenney.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is radio somewhere. On your speakers, on great radio stations up and down the left coast. Bouncing off the satellite. A fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Lots to talk about today. We'll kick it off in a moment with Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America. Going to talk about the coverage of the primary from Indiana in particular on television last night. I just love it when they bring in Karl Rove and Sean Hannity to break down the Democrats. Later this hour, we're going to meet Michael Sheehan. He served at the White House under Bush 1 and Clinton on the National Security Council. He's written a book highly critical of our efforts to combat terror. It's called Crush the Cell, How to Defeat Terrorism Without Terrorizing Ourselves. That's coming up later this hour. Next hour, we've got a little time to recap the events in North Carolina and Indiana and some commentary from Maureen Dowd. She really nailed it today. And also next hour, we're going to take a look at the disaster in Burma, also known as Myanmar. And Marco Simons, the legal director of Earth Rights International, they've been active on the boycotts of Burma over its ties to the Unocal oil company. Also on today's program, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will be with us. The May revise will be out next week. How deep is the red ink in Sacramento? And what will be the impact on the UC system and other units of our higher education network here in California? In the Free Speech Zone, we'll be talking with Dr. Sue Ellen Miller. She's got a special way to observe Mother's Day this year. And it's a way to save the lives of mothers who would die at childbirth from hemorrhaging. And we'll talk about that and tell you how you can support it. And in our final half hour today, we're going to hear from Oxy Johnny Steele. Johnny's the comedian, and he also plays a lively character for us called Oxy Johnny. He was in a ski accident, got prescription for OxyContin, and it turned him to the far right. And now he, he chants Rush Limbaugh left and right. Right and right.
You know my toll-free number. It's 888-5-PETER-B. Use it. 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And just one more thing. In KGOE land in Eureka today, you've got Giants baseball coming your way in about half an hour. So don't be disturbed or alarmed. Just sit back and enjoy the events of the season. Eric Bollard is there at MediaMatters.org and writes a weekly column. A lot of good analysis there. Eric, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Doing okay. I'm a little tired. I stayed up late last night watching all the coverage, and I was one of those people not so surprised that Indiana was as close as it turned out to be, and also that Lake County, where Gary is, would be pivotal in many respects. They held out until very late, started to release their returns, and it provided a what was a two-point squeaker, and I'm not sure when it's all certified and all the absentee and provisional ballots are counted exactly where it will go. But let's talk about the coverage. It was interesting because, about 1 o'clock Eastern time, Tim Russert came on to the MSNBC coverage and said, I think we know who the nominee is now. And it was interesting because he and the assembled pundits, with the exception of Rachel Maddow of Air America, were all pretty much in agreement that the Clintons will now take down the negative attacks and essentially kind of ease off the campaign trail in the next few weeks. What was your sense of the analysis that was offered, and whether you thought it was, you know, balanced?
The mighty Oz has spoken. Tim Russert has spoken.
And we're gonna dig into his undies in just a minute.
I try to stay away from political analysis, but I think it was generally on. I mean, obviously Obama did what Clinton wanted to do. She wanted to wrap up Indiana early and make North Carolina squeaker. He turned the tables, and it certainly was the game changer that people were talking about, but, you know, Clinton camp was hoping it would have. So I think they're probably right. There's talk now that, she'll stay in through June, but she might ease off, the very aggressive campaign. She might just sort of generically target John McCain from now to the end of the the end of the campaign, i.e. early June. I think Russert was probably right, and I think the only question is what the press will do between now and then. I literally don't know if they'll allow her to continue even to West Virginia next week. They seem quite adamant.
Well, and more significantly, Eric, do you think that the media has gotten the message that Jeremiah Wright is not the top-of-mind issue for voters, even in a very white state like Indiana? 96% Caucasian there.
I misspoke. I don't think we saw any exit polling that suggests people thought it was, had anywhere near as important as the economy. Was just sort of off the charts, particularly in Indiana.
Right.
But I think if you look at the, number, I guess they did exit polling. Was that issue significant? I think 6 in 10 said yes, and most of them voted for Clinton. In the end, I think it probably cost Obama at least 5 points in Indiana, at least 5 points in North Carolina.
Yeah, I think so.
But based on the coverage, you would have thought it would have cost him 38 points in each state. That obviously did not happen.
There was, first of all, I want to correct myself. I said Indiana was 96%. It's only 94% Caucasian and 6% African American. Also, Eric, it was interesting because I've noticed a new pundit on MSNBC, a very attractive African American woman named Michelle Bernard. And she's identified as being with an obscure women's forum organization. And they trotted her out a couple of weeks ago to ding Obama over Reverend Wright. And they did not identify her past or her connections.
Oh, right, I did see her, yes.
And I did a little Google search on her, and, for example, she served on the Bush-Cheney transition team in 2000. Now, that's not a crime, but it's something that her political leanings should be identified if she's going to be brought in as an African-American spokesperson of some sort to comment on the black church, Reverend Wright, and its impact on the Obama campaign.
Yeah, so, I remember seeing her I'm sure the day she showed up, and I remember thinking, wondering what who she was, because she did she was quite critical of the Obama campaign.
So last
in the context
night,
of right, but
last
it
night
to
she,
be reflective of much of a larger population.
Last night she was back, and they were vamping because those Lake County returns were very slow to come in. And Matthews looked at her and said, "Now, if I have it right, you're a little bit right of center." And she smiled and said, "That would be fair."
Well, at least we got that out in the open.
Well, but it was not linked to her more critical comments about Wright and Obama
that's just
a week or 10 days ago. And this is one of the big problems we have. We might have a chance to talk about the rent-to-generals and the failure of the corporate media to even report on the New York Times story, much less their own transgressions. But this is a serious problem where the corporate media in this country, television in particular, does not identify the conflicts of interest or just the basic interests and the connections or, you know, track record that individuals have who are brought on to comment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think it happens a lot. And particularly if someone, you know, I think this woman was clearly brought on because she was an African-American. She could speak to this issue of the black church and things like that. But like you said, I never saw any sort of clear identification of who she was or, you know, what her background, not in a negative sense, but what context she was bringing to the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder if they're trying to hide something or not. And in this case, maybe they were.
Yeah.
They weren't being completely forthright about, you know, why they invited her.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's talk about the generals now, and then we'll talk about NBC and the ban on Huffington in the next segment. Erica, I just think that it's very interesting that this story is now more than 2 weeks old from the New York Times, and in my view, it's something that should have been published several years ago. This information was obvious as we were watching television in the run-up and early stages of the war in Iraq, that these generals were parroting talking points from the Defense Department.
Right.
And it is stunning that the networks have not found any time, any opportunity to even just acknowledge, well, you know, the New York Times had this story. Brian Williams, the anchor on NBC, has made a passing reference to it in a blog.
Right.
But nobody on commercial television, PBS is the exception, has even hinted that this story exists and that they have been compromised.
Right. I mean, the story prompted congressional interest. Hopefully we will see hearings. There's been serious questions raised about the legality of the Pentagon program. But the networks have decided none of that is newsworthy. Not only aren't they reporting on it, but when other news organizations, whether it's NPR or the New York Times, which has done its own follow-up, or PBS, the NewsHour, have contacted the networks and said, can we get a comment? We're doing a story, a follow-up on the Times. They can't even get a comment from these news organizations,
which is
almost unprecedented. I mean, there's no legal precedent here. This is not some sort of ongoing litigation where they can't comment.
Yeah, and
it's a very simple question about what was their policy in terms of selecting and vetting the, you know, these, quote, independent generals who they had on TV for years and years. They won't even talk about it. So, as I said, this really does cry out for congressional hearing because it appears that the only way the head of these news organizations will discuss this topic is under oath.
Yeah. Well, I hope we'll do that. We really need to get that story out in the open, if only to try to prevent it from happening in the future. We're going to take a break and return. Eric Bollard has a great column that you can read at MediaMatters.org about how Tim Russert has apparently issued an edict that Arianna Huffington shall not appear on the NBC networks. We'll pick up with that in a moment. If you have a question or comment for me and Eric Bollard, call us now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge. Mark Hood has devoted his life to protecting communities from crime. With 19 years as a criminal prosecutor and significant civil experience, Mark Hood has handled thousands of cases, including murder, crime by gang members, kidnapping, and fraud. Praised by judges, fellow prosecutors, and defense attorneys alike, and endorsed by law enforcement. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Our lives are the way they are because we insist upon ignoring one of the deepest truths that has ever been given to us. Hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. These are the words of Buddha from the Dhammapada. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how honored I am to be with you on Saturday and Sunday mornings here on KRXA 540 AM. At 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to offer to you the alternative to hate and maybe help you understand the ebb and flow of love and exactly what love can be and do for a person like you and me. The peace we seek in this world is not through politics, religion, or philosophy. It is found in those moments of deep and profound silence where we recognize the truth that hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love can dispel hate. Come and join me, won't you?
My name is Donna Shore, and my husband, Todd Hornick, is running in the June 3rd election for Superior Court Judge. Todd is a loving and caring husband and father of our two boys, Tarak and Nilan. Todd Hornick is a dedicated prosecutor with a sincere passion for the law and justice. He has used his legal career to advocate on behalf of victims of crimes and to secure necessary punishments for those who violate the law and threaten our safety. Todd's energy and enthusiasm for the courtroom is matched by his knowledge of the law. As an educator for the California Department of Parks and Recreation and the California District Attorneys Association, Todd teaches law to law enforcement cadets and experienced attorneys from around the state. My husband, Todd Hornick, has the comprehensive support of the law enforcement community, and he is the best choice for judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 23 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Eric Bollert. He's a senior fellow and a columnist at Media Matters. You can read his work at mediamatters.org. And, Eric, I wanted to dive into your very interesting piece about the dust-up between Arianna Huffington of the Huffington Post and Tim Russert, who we were talking about in the preceding segment. He's the Washington bureau chief, and it's his butt that gets kissed on primetime television by all these seven-figure anchors. It's really disgusting. But Arianna's got a new book out, and she was expecting that Keith Olbermann and Chris Matthews would be calling to book her onto the show. But it turns out that there is apparently an edict that it shall not be so.
Yeah, I mean, Arianna is been on MSNBC more than 30 times in the last year. Her writers and editors have been on it over 100 times. And they had already been contacting her office about, you know, her book tour and when they could have her on. And then all of a sudden the phones went dead, and they finally got back to her and said MSNBC wasn't interested in having her on any of their shows, and neither was NBC. You know, as I point out, those two channels produce hundreds of hours in terms of political programming every month. And Arianna Huffington is probably the highest-profile progressive writer in the country, and she has a new book about politics out amidst a high-profile campaign, but no room at the inn at MSNBC and NBC.
And there's a history of her. There's a history of her being very critical of Tim Russert.
Yeah, and it turns out the word inside NBC is that Tim Russert is very unhappy with Arianna Huffington. She first sort of set her sights on him a couple of years ago. They started the Russert Watch to sort of dissect his performance on Meet the Press. She was very critical of his role in the Valerie Plame case. And she goes on for about 5 or 8 pages in the book critiquing his work. And that's a real no-no, these, you know, in terms of the mainstream Beltway press. And you don't really do that because it's considered impolite. And the effect is what we've seen is essentially her being blackballed. Luckily for Arianna, she has enough other platforms, certainly with the Huffington Post and other places, that she can certainly sell lots of books without MSNBC. But it does show the danger, and as I wrote, I think it indicates why more mainstream liberal pundits and writers don't really honestly critique the press, because there's a career... there are career consequences involved.
Yeah. And this is really petty because, you know, it's fine with me if Tim Russert doesn't personally want to have her on Meet the Press, but to use his muscle as an executive at NBC to block her appearance on the entire network, I think that is a suppression of speech.
Yeah, and really is petty. And they say, well... you know, she was never booked, and, well, she's been on, you know, all, you know, as I mentioned, she's been on 30 times, so there is no anti-Huffington, you know, edict, but that, you know, I don't buy it because, you know, when she wants time to help sell a book, i.e. when it's important to her, when it's personal for her, that's when sort of the knives come out, and that's when we see the retribution.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's ego and petty and it has absolutely nothing to do with news gathering, but it does provide some insight, I think, in terms
now, in your
of
piece,
how the Beltway media works and sort of this perennial high school approach to journalism.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eric, in your piece, you mentioned something I wasn't familiar with, which is that Russert seems to believe that Huffington had hired a private detective to check out his wife, Maureen Orth, who writes for Vanity Fair.
Yeah, this is back from the 90s when Arianna was a conservative. She was being profiled in Vanity Fair by Russert's wife. And the allegation at the time was that Huffington had hired a private investigator. She denied it at the time. She denied it to Russert's face at the convention in San Diego. But it's interesting, and no one really took it seriously for years after that. But again, when Arianna was critical of Russert in recent years, it was an NBC News flack who sort of threw that out as an insult.
Well,
and history of overreacting to her, I think they've got rabbit ears in terms of her criticism.
When she
was realized it really does. She's got such an enormous platform at the Huffington Post. They realize, you know, this isn't Columbia Journalism Review and some academics. This is the mainstream, and her critiques are scathing and they're factual, and they're really. Pull back the curtain on the brand of journalism.
Now, about the investigator issue, Eric, I have to say I was a witness to Michael Huffington's campaign against Dianne Feinstein in 92.
Right.
And Arianna was a key player there along with Ed Rollins. And they were playing real hardball. They were running a lot of negative ads that came from dumpster diving into Feinstein's trash. And so it wouldn't be implausible, not that she personally had hired an investigator, but that Ed Rollins or her then husband Michael, the oil baron, might have done it without her knowledge. So we'll have to let that one for a future show. Thank you very much, Eric Bowler. Good to talk with you.
I'll talk to you. you soon, Peter.
All right. MediaMatters.org. Coming up, Michael Sheehan, author of the new book, Crush the Cell.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments gained from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. The Peter Principle, laid down by Professor Lawrence J. Peter in 1968, says that in a hierarchy, people are promoted as long as they work competently. But sooner or later, they reach a position at which they're incompetent, and there they stay in jobs they're not very good at. This works in a very special way in school systems, as we'll hear in a moment. If you're finally retired, you can do all those things you've been wanting to. Being on the go, you'll need a cell phone you can rely on. But you don't want to deal with some complicated phone with lots of tiny buttons, and Verizon Wireless has just the phone for you called the Coupe. It has a big keypad, an easy-to-read screen, and dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and Verizon Wireless, you know it's reliable. The Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Everything you need and nothing you don't. To learn more, call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
The Peter Principle applies to school principals, presumably. If you're promoted to principal and you're good at it, you can be promoted to some higher administrative position, and if not, you'll stay on. Inside the classroom, the Peter Principle is replaced by something else, tenure. Tenure, insisted on by teachers' unions, provides job security, but at a price, according to a new survey of teachers done by a think tank, the education sector.
There is, I think, a growing concern even among teachers, which is what our survey shows, that we do need to find ways to get ineffective teachers out of the classroom.
Elena Silva of the education sector. The survey says that most teachers do believe that unions are absolutely essential. However,
teachers that probably should move on because they're really ineffective and they're no longer good or they're really just not good in the classroom, it's very difficult for districts, for principals, to get those teachers to leave the classroom.
So the Peter Principle itself doesn't really apply here?
Essentially, teachers can move up, you know, over time without penalty as long as they keep teaching in the same district or state. They really can't leave, even if they wanted to leave. There's not a lot of flexibility there.
Teachers in the survey recognize that there are some problems.
Most of the teachers, in fact, do recognize a lot of the problems in their profession and are looking for change.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless.
KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
More to come on the Peter B. Collins Show today. And before we move into our next segment, I just got some news that I find very sad and disappointing. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, Bernie Ward, the former KGO talk show host, an outspoken liberal who has been accused of child pornography possession, is expected to change his plea to guilty and file that in federal court tomorrow. I defended Bernie, and I still believe there was a political element to his prosecution. But his decision to change his plea is one that I will leave to him and his family. But I wanted to share that with you because we'll see how it transpires and certainly talk about it in the future. But that's what I've learned as of now. And at this time, our listeners at KGOE in Eureka, we're going to say goodbye. We'll talk to you tomorrow because Giants baseball is coming your way shortly. You can continue to listen to the program online. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Enjoy the ball game. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Michael Sheehan joins me this half hour. He has a fascinating 30-year career that includes service in the U.S. Army Special Forces, in the White House, the State Department, the United Nations, and also he served as a distinguished fellow at the Counterterrorism Center at West Point, the Center for Law and Security at New York University. He served on the National Security Council in the first Bush White House from 89 to 92, and then returned from 95 to 97 under President Clinton. He's published a brand new book, which is called Crush the Cell, How to Defeat Terrorism Without Terrorizing Ourselves. Mike Sheehan, thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter, for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to talk with you. And if you were to single out one area where the United States has essentially built what I would call a Maginot Line, that was the line of defense that France built after World War I, that was penetrated in about 22 minutes by the Luftwaffe when Germany decided to penetrate that barrier at the beginning of World War II. And one of the things that I've argued is that since 9/11, we have hardened our defenses against the last mode of attack, and we are extremely vulnerable to many other modes of attack that you and I could conjure up just sitting here talking right now.
Well, I think that's a very correct way to put it. Actually, the defensive strategies in counterterrorism really don't work very well because a terrorist cell, once it's put together a bomb, we live in an open society. They're going to be able to drive it somewhere in a boat or a plane or a car, and they're going to be able to attack a target, and it's going to be too late. You're not going to be able to defend every building, every bridge, every home in the United States. In my view, and what I talk about in my book, is the way to defend the country is you have to find the cell, crush the cell before they construct a bomb and try to attack you. And $1 million agency programs, and in my view, have been colossal waste of money, and we've lost focus on the most critical aspects, and that's to get after these organizations and penetrate them in much the same way you would a drug organization or a mafia. Mm-hmm. You penetrate the organization with informants and undercovers. You work with the head of the organization, and you take it down. It's old law enforcement skills domestically and intelligence skills internationally.
But the emphasis of the Bush administration, the emphasis of the Bush administration has not been on what they call HUMINT, which is human intelligence, but massive use of military force, an incredible expansion of surveillance and interception, including, in my view, in violation of our constitutional rights domestically. And, you know, much of that, I think, is pretty useless.
Well, I would say, first of all, on the military side, I think there is sometimes there's a value in military attacks. For instance, taking out the Taliban in Afghanistan, which was done by a very small number of U.S. Army Special Forces guys that I used to work with, serve with, and some CIA operatives, and they took out the Taliban and took out those Al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan, and I think that was an appropriate use of military power. Unfortunately, Iraq, I feel, has been a tremendous diversion.
Well, I agree
and
there.
Most other military instruments don't apply. In the case of Afghanistan, I think it was the proper use. But generally speaking, military is the option of last resort. And in effective counterterrorism. In terms of the wiretap issue, the electronic eavesdropping, I think a way I look at that one, Peter, is that electronic eavesdropping is an important instrument in counterterrorism. We used it to track Al-Qaeda people talking to each other. The problem with the Bush administration is I believe it had a veil of secrecy over the implementation of its policies. I think if they had gone to the Congress and said, this is what we want to do, we want to put in some oversight mechanisms to make sure it's not abused, that we're only going to be tracking Al-Qaeda operatives, we're not going to use this for other purposes, I think the Congress would have accepted it, and they could have put in a program that the American people would have had confidence in. Instead, they kind of bullied it through and had it in a veil of secrecy, and unfortunately, that, in my view, has had a counterproductive effect on the counterterrorism community by making people afraid to use the instruments that properly and legally used are great, but if abused, they can be misapplied and become, and then what happens is the bureaucracy stops to use them and we become vulnerable again. So in my view, in terms of wiretaps, we need to get a new consensus on how you use electronic eavesdropping and how you use it appropriately, not to abuse it, only against those who are known to be involved in this type of activity.
And on that basis,
oversight, and then I think it's a good instrument.
But Mike Sheehan, the FISA law permitted that. It was one of the most flexible laws, and with the special FISA court that had only turned down, you know, 5 requests out of 20,000 in a lengthy period of time. This is not a situation where they had to arrogate power and just assert that under the president's unitary executive and under the authorization to go after the framers of the 9/11 attacks, that was sufficient for him to just issue this edict that this kind of surveillance will occur in this country. And I think that, you know, I have no problem with them using the FISA law, including the flexible tap now, get a wiretap warrant later approach when they have probable cause. But I'm a stickler for the Fourth Amendment. And I don't believe that their behavior has been consistent with our Fourth Amendment right to probable cause.
I think that's a good point. The FISA, when I was at NYPD, I had 120 detectives in working with the FBI, and so I'm very, very familiar with the FISA courts. As some of your listeners probably know, it's a judge that reviews a request to put a tap on a phone, basically, and there's an emergency court that's available. You can put a tap on a line and then go to the emergency court within 72 hours, and generally you're going to get accepted on that. I think what was happening after 9/11 was the NSA, which is responsible for collecting this type of information internationally, wanted some special authorities to really, and I can't get into the specifics, but really they wanted to suck up a range of international phone calls that were primarily originated overseas in places like Pakistan, and they wanted to use some of their technology to pick up this information, and then they wanted some authorities to scan through that. And I think what happened was the president just signed a declaration giving them some broad authorities, which then have been challenged. And I think right now I think it's being sorted out, and I think they're going to put into place some mechanisms so that the NSA is able to scan through these certain numbers that I think everyone can come to a consensus should be looked at and not abused. And I think those mechanisms will be in place. My fear, Peter, though, is that there'll be a backlash. My experience in the intelligence world is if the bureaucracy gets hammered, they'll go inside of a shell, and then we'll have the situation like prior to 9/11 where we were basically asleep at the switch and we had 19 people cruise through our borders because we were just hopelessly unprepared. And I hope that we can find a balance between having our intelligence agencies switched on to the threat, not extending or abusing their authorities, having proper oversight, and having the mechanisms at hand to do the job. And I think, you know, with a little trust between the executive branch and the Congress, whoever the next president is going to be, that type of trust, that type of oversight mechanism can be established and give people in the CIA and the FBI and the NSA the tools they need to do the job. And I'm hopeful that we're going to get there.
Michael Sheehan is with us. His new book is called Crush the Cell, How to Defeat Terrorism Without Terrorizing Ourselves. And let's circle back to Afghanistan and the dismemberment of the Taliban as the ruling government there. But we failed to finish the job. And the diversion into Iraq, I think, is widely viewed as a serious blunder, both militarily and in terms of international policy. And yet Bush seems unmotivated to really finish that job. And it's one thing that I, as a lefty, Mike, support. I think it's, you know, we are well within our rights to track down Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri and their lieutenants and take apart that cell. It certainly will not end the whole range of Islamic terrorism. But, you know, when you cut off the head, it makes a big difference. And I cannot understand why the Bush administration's sitting around fearing up the American people and pat searching grandmas at the airport when the real problem is not here.
Well, let me say this, Peter. I'm not here. I'm fiercely independent, and I'm not here to trash the Bush administration or take a political position on this. But here's my view on Afghanistan. First of all, it was a great operation with the Special Forces and the CIA initially. Unfortunately, as everyone knows, Al-Qaeda got out, bin Laden got out of Tora Bora, out the back door. They didn't close the door. I think the administration was too risk-averse. In November and December of 2001, they didn't get bin Laden and Zawahiri. They still need to get them, and they moved into Pakistan. And now we have a problem that Al-Qaeda, the central apparatus, which in my view is still important, and as I think you share that view as well, they need to be taken down. The problem now is they're not in Afghanistan. They're in Pakistan, which sets up another set of problems. You just can't put more brigades in Afghanistan. It's not necessarily going to solve your problem in Wajiristan and Pakistan. There does need to be more of an effort there, more of a focus. We need to work with the Pakistanis and figure out a way to continue to put pressure on those organizations so they can't attack us. And what's interesting is Al-Qaeda hasn't been able to attack us in the U.S., and now it's going to be 7 years in September. And part of the reason is that the organization, the central apparatus, has been under a lot of pressure. They have been able, in one case, and that's in London, in July 2005, some British operatives came to Pakistan, got training with Al-Qaeda camps, were politicized, they made tapes, went back to London, blew up four backpacks, three trains and one bus, and it shows the Al-Qaeda model still working. There needs to be continued pressure on those camps in Pakistan. But actually, the problem is much more difficult than just beefing up our forces in Afghanistan, because like beefing up forces in Iraq, that's not necessarily the answer. The answer is we have to work with the Pakistanis, a difficult partner with lots of problems, use their forces, some of our forces, intelligence, and as necessary, go in there and knock them out. And I think there's a consensus in both parties that we do that. In fact, the Bush administration in this last several years has knocked out a lot of Al-Qaeda operatives in Pakistan with Tomahawk missiles and the like. They don't like to talk about it because it gives the Pakistani government a lot of problems, but that has been done over the years, and it's been effective. And I think that both,
But Mike, haven't we killed the number three guy in Al-Qaeda about 14 times now?
Exactly, and that's exactly what works. They would like to get the number one and two. I think that getting number one and two is much more important than some terrorism analysts speak about. I think it would be great to get bin Laden and Zawahiri. But they're very well hidden way up in the mountains there. But whenever their number three pops up and becomes operational, which means he becomes connected to the cells and to the camps, we find them and we kill them. And that's a good thing. And that should always be applauded. And the life expectancy of those second-tier leaders of Al-Qaeda is very, very low.
We got to take a break. We'll return with Michael Sheehan. His new book is Crush the Cell, How to Defeat Terrorism Without Terrorizing Ourselves. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. My toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Michael Sheehan, the author of Crush the Cell, How to Defeat Terrorism Without Terrorizing Ourselves. And this portion of the PBC show is brought to you by Naked Airlines.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe. Naked Airlines.
Mike Sheehan, have you ever flown on Naked Airlines?
Not that one yet, Peter.
Well, we're almost there. There is a Dutch charter company that has a summer tour where you can fly naked if you want to. But I play this, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but I am so angry every time I go through an airport and I've got to ditch my water bottle and I have to take whatever liquids I have and put them in a little plastic bag. It is such a joke. And this second attempted Bojinka plot was not even at a stage where it could be executed. Yet we were told in the United States that it was an imminent threat, and half of the British suspects have already had the charges dismissed against them. Many of them didn't have passports. None of them had airline reservations. And yet, a year and a half later, we are still on a liquid lockdown at American airports. It's ridiculous.
Well, Peter, you're absolutely right. And actually, it's even worse than what you say, because when the first plot was described, they said they were going to bring in these mysterious liquids, which I'm still not sure what they are. And I've been blowing up bombs in the Special Forces and NYPD for the better part of 30 years. they said they were going to bring in these liquids separately and build it in the bathroom of the plane and then connect it to a detonator and blow up the plane. Well, on the first week of that, when I was at NYPD, I asked the bomb squads at CIA, at FBI, at NYPD, what is this substance that I'm not familiar with? And they didn't know either, and I'm still asking that question. So quite frankly, in my view, they didn't have a mechanism, a bomb, to do that. And that whole series of steps that were taken on liquids is just, in my view, not justified. And it undermines the confidence people have in the system.
Right.
Having said that, you know, if I was the head of TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, you know, they feel a lot of pressure on protecting our civil aviation. Al-Qaeda has continually showed an interest in taking out planes. The original Bojinka plot, by the way, in 1995 actually did work, and they blew up a jet out of Philippines to Tokyo, blew a hole in the plane. They were able to land it. Only one or two people were killed, I believe.
Right.
That goes back to the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, civil aviation is a target. It needs to be protected, but clearly it needs to be done in a more sensible way.
Well, and clearly we need to deal with the root causes and the key players in terrorism, and not, as you put in your subtitle, terrorize every American citizen. It's not going to work. It gives us that cry wolf sensibility where we don't believe a real threat when it surfaces, and we have so many vulnerabilities, our ports, the storage pools at our nuclear power plants. You can go on down the line, and we have not made significant efforts to defend our country. We have basically just, you know, as I said, hardened the airports in defense of the last attack. Let's go to Steve and Salinas. Steve, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Mike Sheehan.
Thank you. I've got a couple of real quick points here. One, how come there has not been a thorough investigation of what happened led up to the 9/11 attacks? And two, if all this spying on us does any good, and we know they were spying on us, you know, 2 weeks after they took office, how come they couldn't prevent the 9/11 attacks?
Well, that's right. We know the Quest got a request for wiretapping in March of 2001, Mike.
Well, basically what happened before 9/11, I can tell you that the FBI domestically, other than New York City and maybe a few other places, was just simply not focused on Al-Qaeda at all. And neither was the CIA internationally. And I think that's, in fact, why they were able to attack us. They attacked us three times in 37 months. They blew up our embassies in August of 98. They blew up the USS Cole in October of 2000 and then 9/11 in 2001. Three major attacks in 37 months. And we were asleep at the switch. After 9/11, we woke up, we put pressure on these people, and we've been able, effectively, over the last 6.5 years, to prevent them from attacking us again. And it's actually been an effective job.
Now,
the
Mike,
problem with the Bush administration is they've conflated the war against Al-Qaeda in the Iraq war, so they actually find themselves unable to even take credit for the success they've had in preventing Al-Qaeda from coming back in the U.S.
We're in full agreement about Iraq, but I'm not so sure about this asleep at the switch part, because I still have numerous questions about what really happened on September 11th of 2001, and it's really hard for me to believe that, you know, these war games that NORAD was engaged in were somehow just coincidental. It's hard for me to believe that the communication snags that occurred between NORAD and the FAA, partly because they weren't sure if it was an exercise or a real-world event. And the 9/11 Commission sucked. I actually observed their work for a couple of days, Mike, and I was floored at how insincere they were at really getting to the bottom of what happened. And I don't believe we know the full story. Do you?
Well, I don't believe, believe me, I spent 20 years in the United States military. I don't think that the United States Air Force was in collusion in some sort of cover-up on 9/11. I think that's ridiculous.
Okay,
no,
I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying, why were they engaged in war games, and why were these communication problems occurring between NORAD and the FAA?
It wouldn't have mattered anyhow. The Air Force sent even scrambling jets. What would they have done? Those planes that took off in Boston were down in New York City before any F-16 would have been able to scramble anyhow, and I'm not sure they would have shot it down in any case.
Mm-hmm.
And then those planes roared right into those buildings. So I'm not sure that that's even a relevant issue.
All right. I'm out of time.
I wondered what NORAD is doing out there, by the way, because for a for a, you know, they might have been able to shoot down a plane that coming into the White House before it crashed. But before
Mike, I'm
that,
sorry, I'm out
sure.
of time. I want to thank you for joining us today. Michael Sheehan, Crush
You're
the
welcome.
Cell is his new book, and I'm Peter B. Collins. Talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Hillary Clinton hangs tough.
I'm staying in this race until there's a nominee.
Urging Myanmar to accept help.
This is not a matter of politics. This is a matter of a humanitarian crisis.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. George McGovern, the Democratic standard bearer in 1972, gave up on Hillary Clinton today and endorsed Barack Obama. But Clinton is not giving up on herself. She's campaigning for next week's West Virginia primary. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein begins our coverage.
Hillary Clinton denies she's damaging the party by staying in the race.
I think we've had a historic record turnout by both of us bringing people into the Democratic Party.
And Obama supporter Senator Claire McCaskill says there will be no pressure.
It would be inappropriate for any of us to tell Senator Clinton when it is time for the race to be over.
Obama spokesman David Plouffe says eventually the party will unify.
Everybody's going to be rowing very fiercely in the same direction to make sure we win.
Plouffe predicted Obama will have a majority of elected delegates by May 20th. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
I'm Dan Revive. The math includes four more superdelegates in the Obama column as of today, including a woman in Virginia who has shifted over from the Clinton side. The Obama campaign hopes that drip-by-drip defections away from Clinton will turn into a steady stream. The Clinton side says, wait, see how well she does in the next 2 weeks. To show her confidence, Clinton loaned her own campaign another $6.4 million.
CBS News has learned that Clinton's top advisors are suggesting she stay in through West Virginia, Kentucky, and Oregon, then gracefully bow out. Now this.
As a professional contractor, some things are a given. You need the right products, you need the right prices, and you need the Home Depot. We have extended hours and convenient locations, so wherever your job site is, we're close by and open. And our price match guarantee will meet and beat any lower price by 10%. In other words, we have everything you need to grow your business. At the Home Depot, you can do it, we can help. Now through May 14th, get 10% off full pallets of GAF Elk shingles. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Announcing the Orbit Sizzlin' Hot Vegas Sale. What, you ask, is this sale all about? Well, by removing the G from sizzling, Orbitz is able to pass along the savings to you. So you'll save $50 off vacation packages to Vegas for 3+ nights. Hit the town, lay out poolside, or try your luck at the tables. But when you think Vegas, think the Orbit Sizzlin' Hot Vegas Sale. And leave off the last G for savings. Visit Orbitz.com to book your Vegas trip today.
Valid for travel 324 through 83108. Book by 51808. See site for details.
It's the international language of distress. A cyclone victim in Myanmar, formerly Burma, where a U.S. diplomat now says the death toll could exceed 100,000.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The Bush administration is perplexed by the military junta's closed door to outside help.
It's hard to fathom.
National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley says the military rulers simply refuse foreign aid.
This is a, you know, humanitarian disaster of enormous proportions.
U.S. military elements are in the region, but a Pentagon spokesman says even an airlift of supplies to hard-hit areas could be viewed by Myanmar's leaders as an invasion. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
The price of crude oil continues to rise. It settled in New York today at $123.53 a barrel, putting even more upward pressure on the price at the pump. What's being done in Washington? CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has today's developments.
With Americans clearly angry about high gas prices, Democrats and Republicans in the Senate unveiled competing energy plans. Republicans want more drilling offshore and in Alaska. Democratic leader Harry Reid's plan would stop the Bush administration from buying more oil for the nation's reserve, curb speculators, and impose a windfall profits tax on oil companies to pay for alternative fuels.
The package that will directly lower the price of gasoline, both long-term and short-term, and take a whack at the oil companies.
Neither plan has any real chance to pass the Senate this year. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
More and more Americans, it seems, are using plastic to make ends meet.
The cost of food, gas, and essential items are rising very quickly, and not surprisingly, many families are turning to their credit cards to stretch their budget in order to provide for their families or for themselves.
Joe Wright out of Consumer Action. The Federal Reserve reported today that consumer borrowing rose at an annual rate of 7.2% in March. The release of one detainee at Guantanamo Bay backfired in a deadly fashion.
It really is a danger to let these people go back into the Muslim world.
Michael Scheuer is a CBS News consultant on terrorism. The U.S. military says a Kuwaiti held at Guantanamo for 3.5 years recently took part in a suicide bombing in northern Iraq. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and enter to win a Napa-branded iPod Nano. The amazingly lightweight and compact 4-gig Nano holds up to 2,000 songs, 4 to 8 hours of video, and up to 7,000 photos, which will look great on its backlit 4-color LCD display. One iPod Nano will be given away at each participating Napa Auto Parts store. Napa, get the good stuff. Get the good stuff!
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
In our next segment, we're going to get a report on the humanitarian crisis in what used to be known as Burma. The militarized state, now known as Myanmar. Nasty cyclone came through. 23,000 is the official death count, but it may run as high as 100,000. But first, let's find out what's going on in Washington, D.C. One of my favorite members of the House of Representatives is on the line right now. She's Maxine Waters from Los Angeles.
Hello.
Maxine, welcome back to our program.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me back.
There's so much to talk about, and we just have a few minutes, so let me dive right in.
Okay.
I am very concerned about the reports we have heard about Speaker Pelosi's plans to roll up the funding requests that Bush has made for continuing the occupation in Iraq with, maybe $40, $60 billion of unemployment benefits, the GI Bill, and a few other things that I support individually. But because I can't support another dime for the occupation of Iraq, I'm very concerned. And I've heard discussion that in the caucus on, I guess it was scheduled for Monday evening, there would be discussion of adding a requirement for significant troop drawdowns by December of 2009. I'm in favor of the concept. I'd like a tighter date. And it just seems to me that the Democrats, not you, but the majority of the members of your caucus, have given up on any meaningful change in our policy in Iraq during 2008.
Well, I think you have it just about right. As a matter of fact, you've described what is going on accurately. The president's request for, I guess, $107 billion or more to continue the funding is going to be taken up in a supplemental request And one of the things we ask for is not to have anything else in that bill, not to put domestic spending in that bill, to put domestic spending in the stimulus, too, that we're going to pass out. And we made it very clear, Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey and I, that we were resisting that kind of coupling. As it turns out, and we also said we wanted to a chance to vote up or down on the Iraq war funding, and we also wanted a chance to amend it to add more to it that we thought should be considered like the refugee problems that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And we had that meeting. We had a one-on-one meeting with the speaker. She took our information and said she would certainly take that into consideration as they forged to how they were going to deal with the supplemental. And then at the caucus, that's when it's learned that there would be three amendments, I think it's two or three amendments, to the Iraq supplemental funding. But those amendments were put together by the leadership, and I still don't have all the details of them. And then I learned that there would be some domestic spending in the Iraqi funding bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so those of us in the Out of Iraq caucus that are adamantly opposed to continuing this war will not vote for the Iraqi funding bill, no matter what's in it.
Yeah.
We just can't do that.
I certainly appreciate your steadfastness on this. And one of the elements that I've heard discussed but haven't actually seen whether it's part of the package is that the funding would be sufficient to cover the first quarter of 2008. And if John McCain, God forbid, becomes president, I don't want to give him any extra rope. And I cannot understand why the Democrats would propose a package that would continue this occupation and the foreign policy mess that we've created well into next year.
Well, that is, you're absolutely right. That's another one of the problematic parts of all of this. And I'm told that this was thought up in the back room in order to keep the future Democratic president from having to deal with it right away. But I think it's faulty thinking, and you're absolutely right. We don't have the will here to end this war and to resist this funding and tell the president no. I know the citizens of this country must be very disappointed by now, and I know they thought when we took the control of this House and had a simple majority that we would, the first thing we would do is end this war. And I can't tell you how frustrating it is to be in a situation where you still have members of the House who are not willing to say no to the president. We won't fund your war.
And I have great historic respect for Speaker Pelosi. But the wheeling and dealing that's going on right now, Maxine, is so cynical. And we lost 47 Americans and thousands of Iraqis in the month of April.
Yes.
And the calculation is that this is an acceptable cost for a Democratic victory in November. And frankly, I'm repulsed by that thinking.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, I think she will be voting with us, I hope. I don't know. I know that she has said over and over again she's against this war. I know that on several times she has voted against the war.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's in a very difficult position being the speaker and having to balance all of the interests, but I'm hopeful that she'll vote with us this time.
Well, the one positive thing, I really want to commend you and the Democrats for standing firm and rejecting the bad bill out of the Senate on FISA reform. And
yes.
I hope that stands. I'm a little worried that just in front of the summer recess, they're going to gin it up and jam it down again like they did last year.
Well, I'm very worried about that, too. I'm hearing rumblings, and I'm trying to talk to as many people as possible. But there's some of us who are convinced that we need not support the ability of this president to spy on the citizens of this country and to invade our privacy, and we're going to be fighting against it. Rush Holt is one of our leaders that's working with us on this, and we're going to do everything we can to resist it.
Maxine Waters here on the Peter B. Collins Show. What did you think of the outcome of North Carolina and Indiana, and are you ready to counsel your candidate, Hillary Clinton, that it may be time to accept that she's not going to be the nominee?
Well, I think that the results of those two campaigns were very revealing, And I know a lot of people are thinking about what happened, and I think that those of us who have a vote as a superdelegate, you know, need to make some decisions, and I think I do not need to make that decision publicly. Whatever decision I make, I need to give her the respect and him the respect of making it privately with him.
Well, that I do respect, but Maxine, what I'm looking at is that mathematically, it isn't possible for her to win the nomination without a bruising backroom deal with superdelegates or, you know, some shenanigans around Florida and Michigan. And frankly, for the unity of the party and for her own political future, I hope that Senator Clinton will recognize that and do so soon.
Well, I appreciate your opinion.
Well, you've got it, and I will accept that response, Congresswoman.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Now, next, I just want to talk briefly here about the Neighborhood Stabilization Act of 2008, and this regards the mortgage meltdown, the foreclosure crisis that is pushing a lot of people out of their homes, and this has the potential to create great blight. In areas like Modesto, California, Maxine, the whole neighborhoods have almost been evacuated, and, you know, in some cases, 60-70% of the homes are unoccupied and have for sale signs out in front, but there is no market, either buyers or sellers. So we've got a real crisis on our hands, and tell us a little bit about the Stabilization Act and what it would do.
Yes, that is the 5815 that I'm working on, the Neighborhood Stabilization Act. It's a $30 billion bill. Oh, actually, it's a $15 billion, I'm sorry, $15 billion bill. $7.5 billion would be given to the cities to give to nonprofits and for-profits to rehabilitate these housing. $7.5 would be in grants and $7.5 would be in loans.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be given the money to rehab these properties and put them back on the market for rent or for sale, and it would be targeted to low and moderate income people for the most part. And so we know that the neighborhoods are being disrupted and destroyed and that people are stripping out copper and the weeds are growing up and that it is causing blight and causing the value of the other homes in the neighborhood where people are trying to stay to be driven down. And so we know the cities can't do it by themselves, and the states can't even do it. There are big deficits in all of these cities and in the state of California. And if the federal government can bail out Bear Stearns with $30 billion, surely we could give the entire country $15 billion and the citizens to deal with this problem.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because the $15 billion figure seems inadequate to me. And, you know, the $30 billion for Bear Stearns was committed by the Fed late night over a weekend.
Without any consultation with anybody here in the Congress.
That's right.
And so I'm going to have to go and vote. They're calling me to the floor.
Well, you go, Maxine, and thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters from Los Angeles. Clearly, she's still supporting Hillary Clinton. And I certainly enjoyed that exchange with her. She's a pistol. We're going to take a break and return and talk seriously about the problems in what used to be called Burma, Myanmar, where a cyclone hit along the entire coastline there, and as many as 100,000 people may be dead. We'll talk with Marco Simons from Earth Rights International next on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
In the Monterey County courts, there are 8 criminal cases for every 1 civil case. That means we need a judge who's an expert in criminal trials. Mark Hood is the only candidate who has 19 years' experience as a criminal prosecutor. He has an unmatched record for integrity, fairness, and knowledge. Mark Hood is endorsed by law enforcement, including the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA and very quiet so far this afternoon. Just one item being reported by the California Highway Patrol. Monterey northbound 1 at Aguajito Road. Watch out for a big piece of debris. Cars are swerving to avoid that in the left-hand lane. Highway 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Currently checking and stalling accident-free. Highway 68, we have no problems to tell you about right now. 101 going through Salinas. Currently checks and stalling accident-free. It's likely you'll see that everyday heavy traffic at the Fishhook in Santa Cruz with some stop-and-go stuff once you get on south. On one heading down towards Aptos. This is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, be sure to give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will join us in the next segment about 10 minutes away. Right now we're going to talk about the humanitarian crisis as a result of a cyclone in the Asian nation of Burma, also known as Myanmar, under the military dictatorship there. And joining us is Marco Simons. He is legal director with Earth Rights International. Marco, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is a very difficult situation, no doubt about it. And we have an AP story, the Associated Press, from just recently, a couple of hours ago, which indicates that the official death toll is at 23,000. 42,000 others are reported missing. And a U.S. diplomat there said that as many as 100,000 people may have died. Do you want to comment on the toll there? Or, I mean, any loss of life in these proportions is very significant, and at a certain level, it almost becomes not irrelevant, but less relevant.
Yeah, the numbers are certainly high and almost guaranteed to increase over the coming days, not only because the more information will be coming out of the affected areas, but also because the victims right now are continuing to die because they don't have access to clean water and food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the problems are compounded by this military dictatorship that controls the country. And over the past year, they have been buffeted by protests from outside about their humanitarian issues, and in particular, the crackdown on the protesting monks a little over a year ago. Tell us about the challenge of getting humanitarian aid into Myanmar under these circumstances.
Well, it's a tremendous challenge because there's a great deal of mutual mistrust at this point. The outside world, especially the Western world, doesn't trust the government itself to administer large amounts of aid because they justifiably are afraid that, you know, that may go to funding the military. On the other hand, the military regime doesn't trust outside organizations or governments to come in and administer programs inside Burma. So it's a difficult situation. What we have asked everyone to do at this point is to put aside their political differences for the sake of meeting the greatest need at the moment. You know, for the first time in recent memory, the greatest threat to the people of Burma is not their own government, but this humanitarian crisis.
And so this is very interesting because you have a track record for 13 years now of challenging the Burmese government over issues like UNICAL's presence in the country and various facilities that they've built in sensitive areas. And your press release is critical of First Lady Laura Bush for her comments in response to the death toll there. And she linked humanitarian aid with criticism of the regime.
Yeah, and at the moment, you know, you're right. We're certainly not apologists for the Burmese military regime. But at the moment, the most important thing is getting aid and supplies to the people who need it. And we don't believe it is the right time to be calling out the military government on its many, many failings. Mm-hmm. It's time to say, you know, we'll discuss the political issues another day, but right now we need to do everything possible to get the aid to the victims who need it. The problem that we see with the U.S. government's approach at the moment, and the U.S. government has been moderating its approach over the past few days, but the U.S. government's approach seems to be conditioned on allowing access to the country by U.S. teams, which is a condition that the Burmese government will almost certainly never agree to. Mm-hmm. And so we would like to see the U.S. government to do whatever they can to put those resources into the hands of the people who need it, whether that's giving money and supplies to the U.N. Mm-hmm. or giving it to private aid organizations who do operate inside Burma, and there are a handful that do operate inside Burma.
And what about, this may seem extreme, but is UNICAL in a position, because they're there and they certainly have funds, resources, and infrastructure on the ground in Burma, would you call on them to provide humanitarian aid at this time, or would that be converting blood money to humanitarian causes?
Well, I want to clarify that it's not UNICAL anymore, because UNICAL was acquired by Chevron 3 years ago, so Chevron is now the last major U.S. investor in Burma. We would certainly call on all of the multinational corporations in Burma to do whatever they can to provide humanitarian assistance. In terms of having the infrastructure to help deal with this crisis, where the oil company's operations, actually natural gas pipelines, are, is in a different part of Burma than the area affected by the cyclone.
Yeah, it's further inland.
It's further, yes, it's to the south of the river delta area where the cyclone hit.
Mm-hmm.
So although they do have some people in Rangoon, the former capital, they don't have a lot of person power in the affected area.
All right. Phil in Eureka has a quick comment. Go ahead, Phil.
You know, the terminology, the words that are used in the media, it's fantastic. What's another word for cyclone?
Well, I guess hurricane, but
there you go.
I don't know the origins of this storm. Marco, is there a distinction here?
Well, it's a little outside my area of expertise, but my understanding is that a cyclone is called a hurricane when it's in the North Atlantic, and it's called a typhoon in parts of the Pacific, and everywhere else it's just a cyclone.
Phil, I'm sorry, I don't have quite enough time to discuss that in any more detail. Excuse me, Marco, I wanted to ask where the best place is that Americans can send cash. I'm always wary of the Red Cross. What is your view of the best agency or agencies to help those in Burma?
Well, we would encourage people to donate to organizations that do have a designated fund for cyclone relief. While the American Red Cross does not, the International Federation of the Red Cross does have such a designated fund, and since the American Red Cross would simply be funneling money to the international operations, that might be a better place to send money.
All right, sir.
Although that's not tax-deductible, just so.
Gotcha. Marco Simons from Earth Rights International, their website, earthrights.org. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's over. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Hillary Clinton will fight on, but when your own campaign aides start dishing reality, it's over. And what the aides are saying, anonymously, of course, is that even the new math won't work, and that, in fact, they've known since February that the campaign was doomed. They couldn't say so sooner because campaign aides need jobs, too. But now, the money's running out, their jobs are toast, and the reporters have been buying the beers. Mrs. Clinton had to lend her campaign another $6.4 million over the past month for a total of $11 million. She's come to her Mitt Romney phase. And so the Democrats will place their presidential hopes on star quality. The Clinton people think that's a big mistake up against John McCain's military experience. Maybe. But remember, this is a nation where some of the heaviest voter turnout is for American Idol. As for McCain's military experience, Obama is going to ask whether that surge has made us stronger. How is it that we have managed to become the superpower nobody's afraid of? As for preacher problems, well, Obama finally got a divorce from his preacher. Meanwhile, given the amount of time to fill, someone is bound to notice that John McCain still has two. Rod Parsley?
And African Americans have become the preferred prey of the abortion industry.
And John Hagee?
Hurricane Katrina, the judgment of God against the city of New Orleans.
Preachers who are not merely holdovers from his youth, but who he still embraces. You use that, plus a few pictures of Obama on a basketball court, you know, body-checking senior citizens, it might be a race. Now this.
Spark plugs, one of the most misunderstood parts in the entire engine. Replacing worn-out plugs reduces misfires, increases power, and improves gas mileage. You know this. What you don't know is the shape your spark plugs are in right now, which is all the reason you need to get over to Advance Auto Parts, where Bosch Platinum Plus 2 spark plugs, the ones that last over 100,000 miles, are on sale. Offer ends May 31st. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Joining me now is California's Democratic Lieutenant Governor, John Garamendi. He's the former insurance commissioner, and he joins us on the program again today. John, how are you?
I am very, very well, Peter.
Well, good. Before we dive into the California budget mess and, in particular, its impact on our higher education system, I just wanted to get your take, and I was politely rebuffed by Maxine Waters just 20 minutes ago, but I'm going to try again.
Okay.
You and I have discussed our preferences for president in the past, and you're a Hillary Clinton supporter, and I've been supporting Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, given the outcome of the make-or-break Indiana primary and, to a lesser extent, North Carolina, if you've studied the math, and if you can find any way for Senator Clinton to prevail in this contest.
Well, I think it really hinges on what is Florida, what happens with Florida and Michigan at this point, together with the what are called the superdelegates. You know, therein lies the answer to the question. And do I have any idea what's going to happen with either of those three things? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But all three together can move this thing to Hillary or away from Hillary.
Well, but I think you know the math, that based on the outcome of Indiana and North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
she needs to win 90% of the remaining uncommitted superdelegates, and she needs to win 70% of every primary between now and June 3rd.
I don't think that number includes Florida and Michigan. If it does, then I'm so informed, but you got to factor Florida and Michigan into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do factor Florida and Michigan, you know, I think the numbers are different. I think those percentages change.
Well, I watched a lot of TV last night, and they had the pie charts up, and as they explained it, even with Florida, the current delegate allocation assigned to Clinton, she can't catch Obama in the pledged non-super delegates. And so, you know, I think that mathematically it is outside her reach. And so we have some wags who say, well, it's the Tonya Harding strategy. They're waiting to see if, you know, Obama falls on the ice. And others say, well, they're going to work backroom deals with the Rules Committee on the Florida and Michigan issues and also break some arms in the superdelegate community.
Well, I suspect all of those things are possible. It's possible for either Hillary or Obama to slip on the ice in campaigning. That can happen, and it certainly has for others. Witness the previous leader in the last election, who is now the Democratic Party chairman across, you know, he took a
mm-hmm.
slipped on the ice in Iowa.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's always possible. And, you know, clearly part of Hillary's strategy is to continue on and to hope that something breaks along the way
mm-hmm.
for her or against Obama.
Yeah.
But it could just as easily break for her as it could for him, because
mm-hmm.
both have there's always a vulnerability, even though you may not know what it is at the time. You know, clearly it's drawing to a close. When will this close up? I don't know. But there's some big questions out there, and I'm not the mathematician in this. What I have found is that the talking heads on television mostly blabber about things that they really haven't sat down and analyzed in detail.
Shocking, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not shocking. Frankly, I'm very tired of seeing the same talking heads.
Well, just for that, then, all you got to do is flip over to the Faux News Channel, because they trotted out Karl Rove, that expert on Democratic politics, to,
God save us.
to break it down late last night. And it was great to see him and Sean Hannity, you know, offer their advice to the Democrats. It happens on so many of these channels now, John, where we have teams of Republicans who are analyzing and advising the Democrats via the media.
Well, my guess is what they're really analyzing is their own personal bank account, because you know they're being paid for their analysis, or at least for their wisdom or lack thereof, by the TV stations. You just go, this is frankly quite ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, John. Well, let's turn to problems here in California. Next week is when the official release of the May revise receipts from the April tax season will be made available. Do you get advance information on that inside the Capitol?
Yes and no. Officially no, but the rumors will be floating through here about seven stories tall. I mean, it'll be just a lot of flotsam around here.
But it's only a five-story building.
Well, as I say, there's a lot of floats. So there'll be a lot of rumors. They'll begin circulating towards the end of this week, over the weekend. And among that, those rumors, there will be the truthful or accurate numbers. So we'll all begin to pick them out. The real question is, what's the accuracy of the accurate or the official number? What is the accuracy of it? And herein lies something that I think all of us need to be aware of, is that the numbers that come out have to be seen in the context of the current year, which we are running a deficit in the current year, the fix that was a non-fix applied in January as a result of the governor's declaration of an emergency and the legislature's response to that, which in my view didn't fix anything. But those numbers are important in determining what the number will be for the 2008-09 budget year, which officially begins July 1st. So you got to take all that into account, and whatever numbers floated out there, I'd say, wait a minute, let me make sure that we've calculated the current year situation, the fix, which is really putting off a couple of billion dollars of expenses until the new year. Is that calculated into this? Or is somebody playing funny money again and we're pushing payments off to the 9-10 budget year? All of that's important.
Now, we have an Austrian-born action movie star playing governor right now, and I'm trying to figure out if the figure he has floated, which could be as high as $20 billion, is a theatrical statement on his part to get people's attention and to force legislators to try to move along his path, which is to cut, 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 and cut, and, by the way, no new taxes.
Well, if it was intended for that purpose, it didn't work because everybody discounted it as... quite possibly inaccurate, or maybe I should say hopefully inaccurate. But it is a number that has been tossed around here. Most people would say that it's probably going to be something less than $20 billion, but even if it's in the 10 to 15 or $16 billion range, I think it's impossible to cut that much out of the state operations without destroying, excuse me, too strong a word, without severely setting back the educational system in the state of California, both the K through 12 and the higher education system. The problem is that what happens with those kind of cuts is you reduce the expenditures and you set them back to a lower level than they were in the current year and even lower than the previous years, so that over the next 4 or 5 years, you just barely get back to where you were yesterday. And we can't do that if we're going to have the best educated workforce in this nation, if not in the world. And that's what we really need to have a growing, vibrant economy. We must pay attention not only to the physical infrastructure, the streets, the roads, the water systems, the rail systems, and the like. We have to pay attention to the intellectual infrastructure, which, frankly, is more important than the physical infrastructure.
Well, and here's the announcement. The University of California expects to increase undergraduate tuition by 7.4% in autumn, and they are not willing to commit that that will be the only increase in the coming academic year. And over at the CSU system, they have approved a 10% tuition increase. And at CSU, the Chancellor Charles Reed is saying that he doesn't plan to go back for more later in the year, but that's not a firm commitment that the 10% is the last increase for this coming school year.
Well, there's going to be a hell of a fight this next week. The regents and the trustees both meet next week. I have a resolution before the regents and the trustees to freeze the student fees at last year's level, not make those increases. Let's be very, very clear about this. Those fee increases are nothing but a tax on students. Now, apparently the legislature is, and at the moment the governor, unwilling to raise taxes on anybody except students. Now, that is a really stupid tax policy. You tax your students. You don't raise the revenue from the general wealth of the economy, from those who can pay, but you raise it from the students who are really the seed corn, the intellectual seed corn for the future. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. And let us be also clear that the state of California has backed away from its commitment to a free public education system that is really responsible for the wealth, together with entrepreneurship and other factors. The wealth of the state of California was largely made available because we had a very, very well-educated workforce in California that was created by a great public education system that was free. In the last couple of years, last 4 years, we've doubled the fee on students, the tax on students, to the point where we are, where students cannot make it. They simply drop out because of the fees at the community college, the state university, the University of California. Those are the people we need 4 years from now to enter the workforce, to be productive. It is nonsense, but that's where we're headed, and we have got to stand up and say, wait a minute. What happened to the great California dream of a great free public education system? It's rapidly going down the drain.
And, John Garamendi, it also is going to hit hardest those who make just enough money in their family household that they don't qualify for huge loans or grants. And those are the people who are actually subsidizing the students who do receive financial aid of some form. Can you give us the quick sketch in rough percentages of how many students in the UC system pay their full tuition and to what extent they are subsidizing those who can't afford the full bill and rely on various forms of aid?
Well, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but certainly those students from low-income families are subsidized by other students who are from higher-income families, and the real hurt goes exactly where you are, and that's the middle-income families. And you just go, wait a minute, let me see if I understand this. This is exactly what Karl Marx said. You take from the wealthy and you give to the others. It is nothing but, frankly, a communistic redistribution of income system that we have. You take from the middle income and the higher income and you give to the poor income student, all of which makes no sense because you ought not be taxing the students at all. The system of raising the revenue from the general wealth of the economy served this state since 1868, when the University of California was put in place, and the public education system for more than a century and a quarter. We thrived on a free public education system, and now we're slamming the door on the middle-income students. The low-income students do get assistance. They do get loans, but even those that do get loans wind up with extraordinary loans. And it is perfectly clear from studies that have been done by the universities themselves that this is a dead-end street. To wit, let's take a look at Michigan. That great University of Michigan has a great football team. The government of Michigan, the state government, decided when the auto industry imploded a couple of decades ago that they couldn't support the University of Michigan. They went to a student fee-based system. They literally privatized the public University of Michigan. The result is today 40% of the students at the University of Michigan are from out of state. The door has been slammed on in-state students because the university needed to raise revenue to support itself. So they go to the higher tuition that comes from out-of-state students. Now, California has been successful thus far in resisting it. The average out-of-state students from around the nation are about 15% in the various universities. In California, it's in the 5% range. Now, if we continue this effort or this move to taxing the students, we're going to wind up with middle-income students being shut out of the university. High-income students, families can still afford it. Low-income students will probably receive this transfer of wealth and be able to stay in the universities. But every study indicates that you cannot support the state university system and the University of California system unless you dramatically raise the student fees. To the extent this year, the cut that was proposed by the governor, some $400 million, would require that student fees be $10,000 per student. Mm-hmm. And to adequately fund the university, it goes to $15,000 per student. At that point, you may as well go to Stanford or USC.
We're going to take a break and return with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. If you have a comment or a question, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Grab a podcast of this or any other hour of the Peter B. Collins Show and share it with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and a couple of new problems just popping up here in San Martín, South 101 after San Martín Avenue. Watch out for a gas can that's between the two lanes there. Northbound 1 after Rio Del Mar Boulevard. Broken down car looks like it may be partially blocking the right-hand lane, so look for some brake lights as you approach the scene. Oh, they're also saying that someone looks like he wants to run across the roadway. Extra caution with that one. Monterey Road north of Fitzgerald Road, Gilroy. Three baby goats apparently strolling across the lane, so look out there. There's no accidents to tell you about on Highway 68, 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains, or Highway 1 as you go through Monterey County and Santa Cruz County right now. And this is brought to you by Hallmark. This Mother's Day, surprise mom with new recordable cards with music. Just pick a card, add your voice, rock your mom. Visit your local Hallmark Gold Crown store today. I'm Nate Nix, and that is traffic on KRXA.
Barack Obama for America, Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping up on us, a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. We're visiting with John Garamendi, California's Lieutenant Governor. And, John, we're talking about the budget crisis and, in particular, its impact on higher education. I saw a full-page ad in the New York Times for UCLA the other day, and I didn't read the whole thing, but it appeared to be a request for benefactors and contributions. And so do you see any creative ways that can preserve the access to the UC system for people who can't afford it, particularly if the tuition goes up 10% a year?
Well, yes, there is an answer. Certainly, private philanthropy is important, and this UCLA ad, which I've also seen, is, you know, it's useful. But the reality is this institution is not going to be in any position to continue to provide the highest quality education to the students that are academically and intellectually qualified to attend based upon student fees and public philanthropy, the philanthropy of the public. It can only continue to exist as the best university in this world if we increase the public funding. You cannot, you just got to take a look. In 1990, the state of California supported the University of California with $15,000 per student. Last year, 2006, a year ago, the university was supported at $10,000 per student. That's in constant dollars, deflated dollars. It makes no sense to trash the greatest university in the world, and similarly the state university, which produces 80% of our engineers and 80% of the teachers and nurses. You've got to fund these. I just left a meeting in Los Angeles with the aerospace industry, and they were crying out for scientists, engineers, technicians to keep the aerospace industry in California. We have 260,000 men and women employed in the aerospace industry. Most of it is the very advanced satellite and rocket technology. There's a big industry in California, and it won't be here unless we fund our education system. They were crying for people to these graduates, and yet this year's budget slams the door on 10,000 qualified students that would otherwise attend the state university system. We are going to be making a decision as Californians in the next 3 months. Are we going to take a new track in which we disinvest in the public education system and allow it to simply go by the wayside and become a third world rated education system? Are we going to step up as our parents did and continue the dream, the hope, the promise that the best education system in the world provides for the children who are here today and will be here tomorrow? It is a fundamental decision that we're going to be making, and this budget crisis puts that decision right smack in front of us. And we're going to have to do, if we choose to reestablish California as a leadership state in education, in research, in infrastructure, in caring for those who can't care for themselves, then we're going to have to do what that great conservative, Ronald Reagan, and an equal conservative, Pete Wilson, did, and that is push forward the reforms that improve the efficiencies of all of our systems, and we desperately need that in education, and there are some serious reforms that have to go into place, and make some cuts, but not in the key issues. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of cuts you can make in the prison system and other places within government. And they raised taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Those governors raised taxes. We are going to be in the same position that they found themselves in 30 years ago and 20 years ago.
So let's talk about the revenue side.
Yes.
There's the vehicle license fee that's worth about $4 billion a year. That Arnold,
$6 billion now.
Is it? And,
yes.
And Arnold eviscerated that on his first day in office.
Mm-hmm.
It seems unlikely that he would revisit that, a moment of triumph. We have the opportunity to reinstate the tax raid on the wealthiest Californians that was in effect in the 1990s. I favor that, but the governor won't.
Well, that was Pete Wilson that actually did that.
Mm-hmm. So where do we go, John? Where do we go to find the money to sustain the, you know, you've made the case that we don't want to cut to the bone, particularly in our higher education and in K through 12, but where do we get the money?
Well, I think we can get the money in several places. In fact, in many, many places. You've got to spread this out. Certainly, the in-lieu vehicle fee that was wiped out by Schwarzenegger when he came in, a small bite can come back at that. It happens to be a progressive and an environmentally wise thing. So you can do some. Certainly, you're never going to do all of it, but there mm-hmm. can be some that can come there. Incidentally, that specifically funds local police protection and local roads. And so that's one option. There are options. Our economy has changed. Well, let me back up a bit. One of the problems that we face is we have a very volatile tax system. It's based on the corporate income tax, the sales tax, to a much lesser degree on property taxes, which are more stable, and the sales tax, which is on goods and goods, not on services. Our economy has changed to a service-based economy, and a good portion of the economy, therefore, is outside of the tax system, which is the service economy. The governor's even talked about extending the sales tax to certain services. And I think that in the face of the economy that we have today, we need to look at that, as the governor has suggested we do. There are tax loopholes out there that are ridiculous. Some of them are very significant, others are not. But nonetheless important, the loophole that allows wealthy businesses and individuals to buy yachts and airplanes out of state, keep them out of state for 90 days, bring them back, and avoid a sales tax.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's maybe $40 billion there. It's not going to solve, $40 million.
$40 million.
Going to solve the problem.
That sounds
but we
right.
need to look
right.
at all those things.
And, all right, and John, we're out of time, but what about a tax on bad movies that are big at the box office?
Particularly bad movies? Why not?
Thank you, John Garamendi. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
California's Lieutenant Governor here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I am in this race. I am staying in this race.
Hillary Clinton, campaigning in West Virginia today, said she won't quit until there's a Democratic nominee for president. And staffers revealed that she's loaned an additional $6.4 million to the campaign. But political strategist Dane Strother says it's time for Clinton to step aside.
I think someone needs a tap on the shoulder. I think it's time. I think we're hearing the fat lady singing.
CBS News senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield reports the New York senator is getting that message.
The talk among Clinton loyalists today was quite realistic. One of her former top aides said, I can't see the math that gets her the nomination. Neither can anyone else. And one of the Clinton's top strategists told CBS News that he had told Senator Clinton, you can't win this nomination.
Former Senator George McGovern, the Democratic presidential candidate in 1972, came to that conclusion after the results of yesterday's primaries came in. Today he withdrew his support of Clinton and endorsed Barack Obama. Obama won the support of four more superdelegates today. Clinton picked up one. The military regime in Myanmar is refusing to allow international relief agencies to operate in the country despite widespread devastation from the cyclone. CBS News reporter Celia Hatton is in neighboring Thailand.
Some of the aid is getting through, and one aid worker that I spoke to said that it was a partial blessing that the storm hit the country's biggest city, Yangon, so that they were able to get the aid quickly to those people, and they can now focus on getting aid to outlying areas and the people who are hurting there.
A U.S. diplomat said today the death toll could surpass 100,000. Another record for the price of crude oil. It settled in New York today at $123.50 a barrel. It might come as no surprise that consumer debt is rising. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick takes a look.
High prices are taking their toll.
The cost of food, gas, and essential items are rising very quickly, and not surprisingly, many families are turning to their credit cards to stretch their budget.
Consumer debt increased by more than $15 billion in March. Joe Rideout of Consumer Action.
This certainly is another bad sign for the economy going forward, and really calls into question the wisdom of the federal government essentially discouraging saving when it suggests that it's almost one's patriotic duty to spend your tax rebate.
He says it might be better to deposit that check in your savings account. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Demonstrators blocked rush hour traffic in New York City this afternoon.
Charge down! Charge down! Charge down!
They were protesting the recent verdict in the case of Sean Bell, an unarmed black man who was killed in a hail of 50 police bullets. Three detectives were acquitted, but activist Al Sharpton is leading a campaign to have federal authorities investigate. He was among nearly 200 demonstrators arrested today. The price of oil depressed the stock market, the Dow down 206 points to 12,814. The Nasdaq lost 44. This is CBS News.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer. Our good name, Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
It's time to turn off our TVs and turn on our senses. Time to dial up the daisies and kickstart the chrysanthemums. Time to uncoil the hoses and unleash the roses. With Liquifeed Advance, the new feeder and liquid plant food from Miracle-Gro, makes feeding your plants as easy as watering and helps you remember there's a big, beautiful world out there. Miracle-Gro, it's grow time. This weekend, get to the Home Depot and get growing.
An event at the Vatican today might signal a thaw in relations between the Roman Catholic Church and China. CBS News reporter Sabina Castelfranco has the story.
Pope Benedict listened intensely as the China Philharmonic Orchestra played Mozart's Requiem at the Vatican. The orchestra, conducted by Yu Long, also played Chinese folk songs. Benedict praised music as a bridge between cultures and peoples. He greeted all the people of China as they prepare for the Olympic Games and had special words for Chinese who share faith in Jesus and are united through a special bond with the Pope. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
A new 22-mile bridge spans China's Hangzhou Bay. Since it opened last week, more than 300 drivers have been ticketed for driving too slow as they take pictures and enjoy the view. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
As a professional contractor, some things are a given. You need the right products, you need the right prices, and you need the Home Depot. We have extended hours and convenient locations, so wherever your job site is, we're close by and open. And our price match guarantee will meet and beat any lower price by 10%. In other words, we have everything you need to grow your business. At the Home Depot, you can do it, we can help. Now through May 14th, get 10% off full pallets of GAF Elk shingles. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Announcing the Orbit Sizzlin' Hot Vegas Sale. What, you ask, is this sale all about? Well, by removing the G from sizzlin', Orbitz is able to pass along the savings to you. So you'll save $50 off vacation packages to Vegas for 3+ nights. Hit the town, lay out poolside, or try your luck at the tables. But when you think Vegas, think the Orbit Sizzlin' Hot Vegas Sale and leave off the last G for savings. Visit Orbitz.com to book your Vegas trip today.
Valid for travel 324 through 83108. Book by 51808. See site for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is dedicated to my mom, Mary Alice.
Take this pink ribbon off my eye. And it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, nothing about me. Well, don't let me out of your sight. Oh, I'm just a girl, I'm ready to put teeth. Oh, don't let me have any
My dear mother is 84. She had five sons, and she rose to her full height of 5 feet, 2.5 inches to discipline us, and she prevailed. With Mother's Day coming up this weekend, we wanted to talk about some issues related to mothers. And here's a very interesting thing that I did not know about. But one of the leading causes of death at childbirth is hemorrhaging. And there's a fascinating way of dealing with this, and it's called Life Wrap. And joining us to tell us about it and tell you how you can observe Mother's Day and help women around the world survive childbirth and thrive along with their children is Dr. Sue Ellen Miller from University of California at San Francisco's Safe Motherhood Programs. Dr. Miller, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Peter. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's nice to talk with you. And Katrina, our producer, has been telling me about this for a while, that essentially a wetsuit is a very interesting and novel and inexpensive way of helping a woman who is experiencing or about to experience hemorrhaging at childbirth. Tell us a little bit about this and how it was discovered or how you figured this out.
Okay. Well, first, I'd like to start and give a little bit of background about the problem, because I don't think that a lot of people in California or anywhere in the U.S. understand that 500,000 women die every year in childbirth. This is healthy young women who would otherwise be all right, except because of where they live. They live far away from a hospital. They don't have anyone who's skilled to take care of them. Any woman can bleed in pregnancy, especially right after the baby's born. The uterus is tired and the placenta comes out and then the woman bleeds heavily. It's called postpartum hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, if this happens, we give drugs, and if it continues to bleed, we can do surgery and give a blood transfusion, and it all can take place very rapidly. The woman walks out of the hospital the next day. In developing countries, when people are 2 or 3 days away from a hospital, no one recognizes that they're bleeding too much, they die.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have done is take a space-age device, this Life Wrap, which was something developed by NASA. It's called a non-pneumatic anti-shock garment, but we think Life Wraps is a little friendlier. And this is made out of very high-quality neoprene. It closes with Velcro, and we can wrap it around the bottom part of the woman if she's bleeding, and it stops the blood loss, and it also reverses shock. So blood that has gone to her lower extremities is taken back to her brain, heart, and lungs. And this will keep her alive up to 54 hours in our experience.
And how much training or education is required of midwives or others who enable or facilitate live births? How much training is involved to get them educated and experienced to use this device?
The training is very simple. In fact, Peter, I could train you right now.
Even me?
Even you. It requires no medical background. We don't even have to train nurses or doctors. We can train the cleaner of a facility. We can train someone's husband how to put it on. It just takes a few minutes. What it doesn't do is fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That still requires medical attention.
Is this the equivalent of a tourniquet?
No, it's a little bit more sophisticated than a tourniquet. But like a tourniquet, it's a first aid device.
Mm-hmm.
So there are similarities there.
Yeah. And so how does it work? How does it help stabilize a woman's condition?
Okay, well, in shock, the woman is bleeding, and her heart starts to beat faster, trying to get oxygen to her tissues. As her heart works as hard as it can, it finally reaches a point where it can't. It can't pump any more blood up. So she starts to lose consciousness. She will go unconscious, and then she'll die. Applying this Life Wrap reverses the blood flow and puts it all up into the brain, heart, and lungs. As soon as it starts refilling her brain, she'll regain consciousness again, become alert, and then her pulse and blood pressure will stabilize, and she can stay that way for, as I said, up to 2 days.
So it's a combination of getting blood to the brain to reverse the shock and, you know, potential problems from that.
Exactly.
And also that blood flow away from the birth area allows that to coagulate, is
that
it?
Decreasing the flow of blood in that area. And yes, it does allow for clotting to take place. The clotting takes place at a higher level in the body than just in the birth canal, but it allows the blood to clot.
Mm-hmm. And are there situations where this is sufficient, or do you often have to replace lost blood along with this emergency procedure?
That's a really good question. If a woman has lost enough blood that she's in shock, she generally needs to have blood replaced, which again is why the garment can be placed at any level, and then the woman is taken to a facility where she can get surgery if that's necessary, but definitely a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm. And are there complications in, say, remote situations in a third world setting where there are complications that come from infection or, you know, a lack of sanitary conditions
that would require this garment?
Or that this can actually add to? Are there, you know, is there a downside where you have to warn people, well, don't do this because, you know, it could lead to further infection?
No, as long as it is washed after each use, it can be reused up to 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no risk because it doesn't go inside the woman. It will get blood on it, of course, but
right.
if it's washed, then it can be used again
mm-hmm.
and again.
Yeah. Well, this seems remarkable. And according to your website, one of these devices, a life wrap, costs under $200?
Yes, $160
mm-hmm.
is the price for one. And again, if you can use it 50 times, that really reduces the cost per use to just a few dollars. That's amazingly inexpensive for something that will save a life.
Mm-hmm. And so how are you getting these out there and making people aware of them and getting them into use to save women's lives at childbirth?
Well, it's an arduous task, I must say, to get out into the developing countries and, first of all, introduce it to a place. And people are skeptical, so we have to demonstrate that it works. We also have to demonstrate to the World Health Organization and other big donors that it works, and we have to give them a lot of really very rigorous evidence that it works. So that's what we're doing now. We've been working in Egypt and Nigeria, and our work there has spread. In Egypt, we're in 12 regions, and that's in Nigeria. In Egypt, we're in 4 areas, and now we're moving to Zambia and Zimbabwe. And so we are getting as much collegial work as we can with our colleagues in the university teaching hospitals in these countries. And they're the ones who really spread the word.
We're talking with Dr. Sue Ellen Miller here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to find out more about Life Wraps, it's simple, liferaps.org. And that's LIFEWRAPS, liferaps.org. How long has your organization been promoting this concept and distributing these outfits? It's not quite a fashion outfit, but devices.
Life-saving devices.
Yes, in third world countries.
We started this the end of 2002. I met a man, a professor of obstetrics and gynecology from Stanford, Dr. Paul Hensley, and he and I began working in Nigeria in about March of 2003. So we've been doing it since then and have really spread the word fairly rapidly for an underfunded organization, nonprofit organization.
So how many life wraps are out there in circulation, roughly?
Right now, I'd say there's probably about 500 that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a big shipment sent to Nigeria, so that really increased our numbers.
Mm-hmm. And any naysayers or critics of this who say, oh, that's crazy, or do you run into cultural resistance?
So far, we haven't really found any cultural resistance. I think people who are in such dire straits where they can see that the woman is dying are open to almost anything. We do run into a lot of naysayers. It's too simple. So physicians, especially very highly trained physicians and anesthesiologists, are our biggest enemies when we first go to present someplace. Once they see it work, One case, one woman is all it takes to convince even the strongest naysayer this really works.
And are the people involved either medical professionals or midwives or, you know, I'm not really sure how much support a mother gets at birth in certain parts of the world, but are they receptive to it and can they properly identify the symptoms to know when to use a life wrap?
You know, there's a lot of variety of who's available to be with a mother, but in many cases, the mother is with someone who has no training at all. However, people can recognize not when someone is bleeding, if that's too much bleeding, because women bleed in pregnancy and giving birth. Mm-hmm. But once the woman goes into shock, there's no mistaking it. So once she goes into shock and it's time to put the life wrap on, it's very, very clear.
Okay. We're going to take a break and return. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Sue Ellen Miller about reducing maternal mortality using this device called the life wrap, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And again, go to lifewraps.org and learn more about this. That's LIFEWRAPS, lifewraps.org. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Mark Hood for Judge is endorsed by the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association, the Peace Officers Research Association of the Central Coast, and the union representing court employees. Mark Hood is the only candidate for judge who has 19 years' experience with major criminal prosecutions, plus significant civil experience with a leading firm. Tough on violent crime, smart on prevention. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for Judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Mm-hmm.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Southbound 17 before Glenwood Drive. Watch out for a big piece of lumber that's between the lanes there. For San Benito County, heads up. Northbound 101 before Cole Road. We have a large piece of metal debris that's between the lanes. Also, Highway 68, just before Pasadena Drive, we had reports of some boxes scattered in the lanes. Unknown which direction of 68. Just be on the lookout there. This report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test, Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
There's smoke on the water. It's been there since June. Tree trunks uprooted in the high crescent.
We're observing Mother's Day again this year, and you could help save the life of a mother at childbirth, most likely in a third world nation. We're talking with Dr. Sue Ellen Miller from the Safe Motherhood Program at the University of California, San Francisco, and also the founder, is that right, of LifeWraps.org?
Yes.
Yes, she says. And if you go to the website, it's LifeWraps.org. I can confirm that her hair is just as red as it is in the picture on the web there. And Sue Ellen, you must get great satisfaction from helping women deliver safely and survive childbirth, as you cited earlier. 500,000 women die every year from hemorrhaging and other bleeding complications of childbirth. And the LifeWraps device is simple. As you said, almost anybody can be trained on how to use it and how to identify the need for it. So tell us a story of an incident where you were present and you were able to see vividly the benefits of this device.
Oh, I'd be really happy to, Peter. It's one of the joys of my work is the fact that I feel like I'm really doing something. This is so unusual in the field of research. And also, it's the responses of the patients and their families and the providers, people who are used to having women die in their hands. We went into Nigeria, and we began training in one hospital, and we met with some of the skepticism that we talked about before. It was too simple. How could it possibly work? Well, a woman came in with her relatives from a home delivery. She was as nearly dead as a person can be. She had no pulse and no blood pressure. She was unconscious, and she was gasping for breath. When she arrived, the doctor who was on call looked at her and told the relatives that there was nothing he could do, and he sent them out into the courtyard of the hospital, and they were out there wailing and crying and grieving. He remembered that the life wrap was there because we had done a training just a few days before, and he sent for it, and they put it on the woman, and within 2 minutes, her eyelids started to flutter. And she regained consciousness and started looking around and asking for her husband. So they ran out to the courtyard and got the folks. The whole family came running back in and couldn't believe their eyes. There was their wife, mother, daughter, talking and alive. Mm-hmm. And they renamed her Ayo Runbo, which in Yoruba means she who's been to heaven and returned.
Oh, wow. That has to be really satisfying.
That is amazingly satisfying. And this story, or a version of it, gets repeated every single day in one of the places that we work. And so I've gotten quite used to phone calls in the middle of the night with people saying ecstatically, "The lady stopped bleeding. Dr. Miller, we can't believe it. It happened." And I'm so happy to get those calls.
Yeah. Now, a lot of us have trouble deciding what to do to honor our mothers on Mother's Day. And at LifeWraps.org on the web, you offer people an opportunity to honor their mothers by helping save the life of another mother.
Right. We're hoping that this is something, and we've seen already that people are very enthusiastic about this. Instead of a bouquet or a bottle of perfume, a person could send $160 to us on our website, where there's a donation through the University of California San Francisco Foundation, which is tax deductible, and that donation will first send their own mother a beautiful card that has a photograph that was taken in Africa of a woman and thanking the mother and saying that this donation was made in her name and in her honor. The money will then go to buy more life wraps for our projects.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And people can share this. A family could split
right.
the cost.
Oh, yeah. Any number of people could go in on it, and we'll sign all of their names to the card to their mother.
All right. Well, that's a great idea. Again, lifewraps.org, and I'm going to spell it for you one more time. LIFEWRAPS, lifewraps.org. And you've got some travel plans. You're going to be going to Asia and Africa this summer?
Right. This summer is going to be pretty busy. We go to Zambia in June and do some more work there, then to Zimbabwe, then to Egypt, and then we're going to India, where we're going to begin work on a new project there.
Wow. Well, this is very exciting. I'm glad to learn about this, and I thank you for explaining it to us. And I hope that people will go to the website, get an understanding of how simple and powerful this concept is of the life wrap. And I hope that they will be generous here at Mother's Day and see if they can find the means to make a contribution and help save a life or more than one life in another part of the world.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. And yes, please honor your mother and save a mother. Thank you.
Dr. Sue Ellen Miller here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can get a podcast of this program at any time. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Our assistant producer is Brian Urban.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Sun Street Centers invites you to the ultimate pirate adventure Saturday evening, May 17th, for dinner and dancing in Salinas. Sun Street Centers, a nonprofit, has been serving our community since 1968 with their drug and alcohol treatment programs. Now it's our turn to say thank you. Hi, I'm Sheila Gale. Please join me for an evening of dinner, dancing, and a costume contest at the Lodge on Airport Road in Salinas, the annual ultimate pirate adventure. For ticket information, call 753-5158. 753-5158.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Free Speech Zone. Your free speech rights available right now. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We've got plenty to talk about. Obama won North Carolina. Hillary only squeaked out a 2 percentage point victory, and it may be dwindling in Indiana. What does that mean? If you're a Clinton supporter, are you ready to accept the reality that the math simply won't work? 888-5 Peter B. So I'm interested in your comments on the political situation, on the coverage, if you happen to watch television on Tuesday night, with the lengthy coverage, not of North Carolina, that was declared even before 6 o'clock Pacific time in Obama's favor, and the numbers held up through the night. But it was so squeakily close in the Hoosier state that, it was an interesting, long evening. And Tim Russert and others have opined that this is it. That Hillary didn't close the deal in Indiana, and that despite her use of the gas tax pandering, and despite the virulent attacks on Reverend Wright, and in turn on Senator Obama, that he did, you know, clearly get a haircut in terms of where he had been polling a few weeks ago. But it shows that his candidacy is alive and well. So I welcome your comments on that. We also talked just moments ago with our expert on the life wrap, Dr. Sue Ellen Miller. And we talked to John Garamendi about the politics of the budget problems here in California. And we also talked, of course, with Maxine Waters earlier today, and she acknowledged that the Democrats are engaging in some cynical calculations to fund Bush's continuing occupation of Iraq and load that bill up with other expenditures that he says he'll veto. And I certainly appreciate the fighting that Maxine Waters and Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey have done inside the Democratic caucus. So all those subjects available to you. You can call in right now, toll-free, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Wow, I'm looking at my computer screen here, and it says Oxy Johnny is on the line.
PETER-B!
Haven't heard from you in a while, Johnny. How are you?
Been busy. Operation Chaos keeping me busy. How you doing?
Well...
I got a slogan for you when I was listening on the radio earlier today.
Yeah?
PETER B. Look at me. PETER B. Freedom ain't free. you can use that if you want. I won't charge you nothing.
Hey, thank you, Johnny. Now, I know what happened to you. You had that skiing accident. The doctor prescribed OxyContin, and somehow the combination of that drug, the hillbilly heroin, changed your politics. You used to be a liberal, and now you listen to Limbaugh, what, every day, every minute?
PETER, it made me see clearly. It made me see clearly when I got the OxyContin. It's sort of like I was sick until I got the OxyContin. Now I see clearly, and I'm over here just a few minutes. I'd like to listen to you.
Yeah.
And see what you're spouting out there.
Right.
With your crazy liberal nonsense.
Yeah. Now, does my spouting cause you pain, and does that require you to take more medication?
PETER, when you're on OxyContin, you got no pain at all.
Yeah.
No pain at all. I don't quite get the quantities Rush Limbaugh did. But I get enough to keep me pain-free. But it does work me up a little bit, all these people denouncing Operation Chaos. It's just a little fun in politics, keeping things straight. Hillary is in the race. I don't know why everybody... Is it democracy or not, is what I'm asking.
Well, Johnny, there are quite a few elements there. First of all, I want to say, and this might surprise you a little bit, I think that it's permissible, and I have no problem with, say, a Republican in Indiana who wanted to exercise his or her right. It's an open primary state, and the Republican race is a non-issue. There's no real competition there. So if a voter in Indiana wanted to, and a Republican voter, wanted to vote in the Democratic primary, that is legal, it's legitimate, and I don't have any problem with that.
All right, where's the problem then?
Well, the problem is that Rush is, you know, kind of working the margins, and I believe that he's promoting Hillary Clinton because he feels that she's the Democrat that McCain could actually beat this fall. So there's a little bit of a problem that I have with the way he is trying to herd the ditto heads. But the bigger problem I have, Johnny, is that he recently played I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas and said that he's dreaming of riots in Denver at the Democratic Convention this summer.
That's
now,
Peter.
That crosses a line with or without OxyContin into stirring up a riot or, you know, calling for disturbances. I'm really concerned about that, Johnny.
Well, there's a misunderstanding completely from my take on it. I've been busy. I haven't listened to everything the last couple of days, but I think, you know, Rush has had trouble with his weight off and on. You're aware of that.
Yeah.
And I think what he says is he's looking to have a diet in Denver.
No. I think you've been consuming a little too much product there, Johnny.
They got a lot of beef up there and butter.
Yeah.
So he's just saying he hopes that the Democrats have a diet up in Denver because you don't want to put on 20 pounds. A lot of stress, PETER. You know, you eat more when you're busy and stressful because you can't have time to exercise. So that's all he's saying there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And another thing he's trying to do is, we're over here.
Now, Johnny, let me stop you a second here. How long you been on OxyContin?
I've been on OxyContin, two or three years or about a decade.
All right. Now, do you know what happened to El Rushbo when he got hooked on OxyContin? He lost his...
I can't hear you, PETER.
He lost his hearing.
I can't hear you. Are you cutting out?
Well, I think this helps explain why you heard diet when he said riot.
Are you cutting out on me now? Let me tell you something. What the good Rush Limbaugh is doing, we're over here spending our good tax dollars, and now I think the war is up to something like $300 million.
Oh, it's more than that, almost 600.
I'll give you $400 million you want.
Billion.
Because the dollar's not worth so much over there in Europe.
Yeah, you're right.
We're over there going to give these people democracy. That's what they've been asking for in the Middle East. And Rush Limbaugh's just showing them what democracy looks like, the way it's supposed to work, like a machine.
Uh-huh.
Just clean, just everybody, just the voters are well-informed, and then you go out and you vote.
Uh-huh.
And he's just demonstrating to these people over there in wherever, Iraq, wherever that is, Southeast Asia or somewhere, I think. He's going to tell those people, those Chinese people, that we are bringing them democracy. Peter, you there? I can't hear you.
Oxy Johnny is here,
Peter,
on the Peter B. Collins Show. Shall we pull back the curtain? Oxy Johnny,
I know what you're saying, Peter,
is a character played by Johnny Steele, the great comedian. Johnny, you're cracking me up. How you doing today?
All right, sir. Thank you for running along with me there. You know, it's always fun to do a southern accent and yell into a... I have an actual... it's sort of like a mixing bowl. When I put my mouth in there, Peter, I'm in the basement, so my wife don't hear me. And actually, I think I am deaf after putting my head inside a mixing bowl for the last 5 minutes. But
now, Johnny, I want to open up the phone lines because we have two pair of tickets to give away to a performance of you and Dan Ferraro of Bizarro. It's the Leftist Gorillas, and that's going to be in Santa Cruz this Friday night. Will Durst is there?
Will Durst, myself, Richard Stockton, who is a local fellow down there. Who
we know fine. Richard. We're in cahoots with Richard.
Oh, we love Richard.
I think he owes me at least $22.
Well, I'm going to get him and bring it back to you because I'll be going down to Santa Cruz and I'll be coming back to the Bay Area.
And you,
I know,
do you know why?
Why is that?
Because without authorization, he tried to use my moniker and called himself your humble host. And that is a licensed trademark radio moniker, and that's why he owes me the $22.
I tell you what, we'll call it a wash because I think Oxy Giants is going to let you use this. Peter B. Freedom in free. You can use that if you like, right there. Look at me. Listen to me. Peter B. Freedom in free.
All right, I want to open up the phone lines for listeners in Santa Cruz or Monterey. If you would like to see Johnny Steele, Will Durst, and Dan Ferraro at the Leftist Gorillas of Comedy at the Rio Theater in Santa Cruz this Friday night, give us a call. And you will be subject to a ritual humiliation, but it's worth it for the tickets.
Yeah.
So call in right now at 888-5 Peter B. at Santa Cruz. Capitola, Santa Cruz Mountains, Bonnie Doon, where the UFOs land, anywhere in the sound of my voice on the Central Coast, call me right now at 888-573-8372, and the first two callers will compete for two free tickets to this gig on Friday night. Now, Durst has been in New York for quite a while with a major one-man show. Is that right, Johnny?
Yeah, a very successful one-man show that was extended a couple of times off-Broadway. It was called Highly Recommended by the New York Times. He's also he's got a new book coming out. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Some of his essays and rants on the passing parade. Ferraro is hilarious. I don't know wherever. I know you have listeners, and it's all over on the internet as well as radio stations up to Montana and down everywhere else. But find Bizarro. If you can't find the comic strip Bizarro in your newspaper, find it online somewhere.
Yeah,
he's hilarious. And the great thing about the show, Peter, is Will is sort of a good old fashioned political stand up. I'm more of a social critic, doing crazy characters and whatnot. Ferraro just talks about hate mail right wing people sent him. Usually has an overhead projector and he just shows the hate mail and it's hilarious. So it's a pretty wild show. And Richard Stockton will be down there playing the guitar and using some of your lines.
Well, Stockton has done a great job with the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. And
yes.
I went and attended one back in December and I was really impressed. They filled the house there at the Kuumbwa Jazz Center and the audience was really engaged. It was not just, can I have another drink and is anybody funny coming up here? I mean, they're really into the give and take, and Stockton has, I think, a real interesting connection with the Santa Cruz zeitgeist, if there is such a thing.
There is such a thing, because I perform, and I like to perform social criticism and blue state political humor, but I performed at his show a couple times down there in Santa Cruz, and it is heaven on earth. That you can't do the set I do there, in the set I'll be doing Friday night in Santa Cruz, you cannot do that when you're performing at the Orange County Chamber of Commerce annual 4th of July picnic,
yeah.
Let's just say.
All right, we have our first victim from Santa Cruz. It's Tarmo, is that right?
That is right.
Welcome, Tarmo. You're on with Peter B. and Oxy Johnny Steele.
What kind of name is that? Sounds like homosexual or something. Who's that fella?
And, Tarmo, we just wanted to find out where you lean politically. Are you supporting Hillary or Obama in the presidential race this year?
Toward the water.
Say that again?
Obama.
Tarmo, I can't hear you. It must be the OxyContin.
He's leaning toward
Obama. Now, Johnny, one of the problems I have is I talked to a woman the other day who declared that she's still neutral in the presidential race. And after all of these primaries and all this stuff going on, how could anybody possibly be neutral or just be leaning at this point?
People, have been doing this forever. The night before, like the last two presidential elections, people are still not sure. I always find that interesting. I don't know. I don't even know how to comment on that. We're not sure. What new information is going to come in?
Yeah, Tarmo, what do you need to close the deal here?
That's a good question. I'm stumped. I just haven't cut and dry. I've not been completely convinced.
All right.
Well, maybe Friday night we'll do it. There's going to be a lot of opinions flying all over the place.
All right. Well, Tarmo, we're going to give you two tickets to see Johnny Steele with Dan Ferraro and Will Durst at the Gorillas of Comedy at the Rio Theater in Santa Cruz this Friday night. And, Johnny, would you take up a collection and get him a new cell phone?
I think it sounds like he should be saying one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. On that phone.
All right, Tarmo, hold on. We're going to get a birth name and a telephone number, and we'll pass it along, and somebody will call you and tell you what's going to happen. But probably your tickets will be at the box office, okay?
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
Okay.
Look forward to the show.
Okay, Tarmo, hold on there. And, Johnny, I want to thank you for joining us. I love the Oxy Johnny character, and we'll talk with you again real soon. And, stay off the stuff if you can.
And always, Peter B., listen to me, Peter B., freedom, okay?
Johnny Steele, thanks a lot. Did you ever have to make up your mind? We'll go to some calls in the Free Speech Zone next. There's a line open for you. 888-5 Peter B., the Peter B. Collins Show. Not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind? Did you ever have to find? You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and pretty much quick, easy, and painless this time around. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas, everybody currently checking and stalling accident-free. There is a couple of slow spots out there. Southbound 101, leaving South San Jose from Coyote Creek Golf Drive into Morgan Hill. You're going to see some brake lights that area. South 17 on to Southbound 1 in Santa Cruz, some heavy traffic as usual, with stop-and-go traffic on Southbound 1 down into the Aptos area. This report brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, as always, give us a call, 415-901-7990. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners. We don't need to see.
Well, come on, everybody, get into the spin. Now that he's been in for however long it's been.
It's the Peter B. Show.
Good old grin. tuck in your second chin, and everybody do the Clinton. Come on and slide over to the middle.
Over to the middle.
Straighten up and step line.
Up and step line.
Lean it to the left a little.
To the left a little.
Now lean a lot to the right.
Lot to the right.
Come on and take a definite position.
Definite position.
Now do a total turnabout.
Total turnabout.
Take your finger at the media. See how quick they'll beat you.
Everybody do the Clinton.
And when will they stop doing the Clinton on the Democratic Party? I believe that the numbers are now very clear, and that I also think there's a lot of thinking and revisiting the issues going on inside the brain trust there. But as I pointed out to Maxine Waters and John Garamendi over the course of the program today, I think it's time, and I would love to see a graceful exit. Stage left, stage right. You pick it, Hillary. But I think it is time to recognize the math and not do any further damage to the prospects of Senator Obama this fall. Let's go to Ben and Salinas. Thanks for calling, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter. As usual, your program has made me angry enough to call. But however, I must totally applaud that woman. Isn't it nice to hear in the news a medical device that actually works, that saves lives, simplistic in its concept? Every OBGYN, those guys, all gynecologists, they should be ashamed of themselves. Their profession is hundreds of years old, and they haven't yet come up with this device. And maybe it's because somebody doesn't work for the petrol-pharmaceutical industry. However, my pride in that is offset. And Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey and these people, they do a wonderful job, but why do they continue to say there is not the will to say no to Mr. Bush? There is not the guts to say no to Mr. Bush. Why are they standing by, the keepers of the Treasury, and allowing the Treasury to be bled into a war that helps or saves no one?
Yeah.
What are they afraid? Why are they so all intimidated by this twit? That is, somebody needs to ask the question, do some more investigation. Why are they so, you know, it's simple. I'm a lettuce picker, Salinas, what many people would call a Mexican, illegal, or whatever derogatory they use, because they don't like my points of view. But all you got to do is get that thing, keep it in committee, and study it to death. Put nothing in front of Mr. Bush. If you don't put it there, he can't sign it. Put the final authorization for the clearing out of our people and bringing them home on January 25th, 1909. That would take guts and integrity, but are we about to see that?
Well, Ben, you got the right answer. The Democrats have the power to kill the funding for the continuing occupation of Iraq by simply declining to bring a bill forward. It is that simple. And it is a stunning example of how co-opted and uncourageous Democrats are. And they are, as I pointed out to Maxine Waters, using the cynical calculation that, okay, 40, 50 Americans die every month, a couple of thousand Iraqis, $12 billion or more gets burned up. But their focus is on setting the stage for a Democratic victory this fall. Now, I certainly want the Republicans out. There can be no doubt about that. But as I've argued on many occasions, if the Democrats took a principled stand and ended the occupation of Iraq, it would double their support. It would convince people that they really mean what they promised in 2006. And I think it would make a dramatic change in the political landscape in this country. But the Democrats are content to protect their incumbents and essentially try to make this Faustian bargain to bring more Democrats into Washington and then proceed to change. Let's go to Barbara in North Bend. Thanks for calling from KBBR today.
Okay, I'm 82, so I better hurry. There was a where was a plea from Laura Bush for the Katrina victims? I didn't hear that.
No, her mother-in-law, yeah. Barbara, went there and made insulting comments saying that those in the at the stadium, the Superdome in New Orleans, were better off than they had been in their homes, and she showered on them free gift certificates for phony educational software from her wayward son, Neil Bush.
Now, I have a couple other things. I have to meet my grandson at school to critique his speech in about 10 minutes, so I better hurry.
All right.
Now, I have a question. If Hillary was the only candidate from the beginning, Would you and others be treating her candidacy differently? And I want to go on because I am in such a rush.
Okay.
But and I have no racial prejudice. Mm-hmm. I had an African American out for dinner many years ago to meet my teenagers because there weren't any black people around here.
Uh-huh.
And I'll vote for Obama. But I'm afraid many will be overcome by their racial prejudice when the time comes and will lose the election. And the O.J. trial, I felt, was a good example of how unfair life is sometimes. I'm really concerned about that because I know all the blacks have come out in big numbers, you know, to vote for him. And like I say, I will vote for him, too. But I'm still for Hillary up to this point in time.
Okay. Well, Barbara, I certainly respect that. I think there are a lot of good reasons to support Hillary. My problems really are with the DLC attitude that infects, I think, Bill and Hillary Clinton. And, you know, her recent comments about Iran and other foreign policy issues, I think, don't belong in the Democratic Party, don't even belong in the presidential debate this year. And so I really feel she has crossed the line into pandering, and I cannot support her candidacy.
Well,
and
do
I think
you feel
that
she would not have done that if she was the sole candidate running?
You know, I don't know that, because she voted for the Kyle Lieberman resolution last September.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. So I appreciate your call, Barbara, and I understand there are many great people who support Hillary Clinton. I just think that it's clear she cannot win the nomination in a fair way, in a transparent way. It's only backroom deals that would succeed at that. And I just think that she has to accept that for the good of the country and the good of the party.
Well, she'll do the right thing, and so I'm sure she will.
Barbara, thanks for listening, and thanks for your call. Don't be late.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we're out of time here, and I thank you for calling the program today. As I mentioned earlier, news is breaking that San Francisco liberal talk show host Bernie Ward is going to plead guilty to the child pornography charges presented against him. And I'm very sad and disappointed by that. We'll watch the story and we'll comment on it when the news actually happens. But I wanted you to know it appears to be in the works, and he may submit a guilty plea as early as tomorrow, Thursday. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Hillary Clinton kept campaigning today, but after the Indiana and North Carolina primaries, she's getting public and private pressure to give up. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
CBS News has learned that several top advisors are suggesting to Hillary Clinton that she stay in through West Virginia, Kentucky, and Oregon, and then in 2 weeks, gracefully bow out.
So happy to be here in West Virginia.
But for now, at least, she'll ignore prominent Democrats like George McGovern, an old friend who had originally endorsed her, but is calling for her to step aside now.
I'm staying in this race until there's a nominee, and I am going to work as hard as I can to become that nominee.
Barack Obama's strong showing last night strikes at the heart of Clinton's argument that Democrats are getting cold feet about Obama.
Obama picked up four more superdelegates today. Clinton added one to her column. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds has more from the Obama side.
They believe at the campaign that the double-digit victory in North Carolina and the narrow loss in Indiana have brought the finish line in this race now into view.
Obama outpaces Clinton in fundraising. The Clinton campaign revealed today that she had to dip into her bank account again, lending the campaign more than $6.4 million since mid-April. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke wants Congress to do more to help homeowners avoid foreclosure. Today, as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, the House took up a Democratic proposal.
The measure would make some $300 billion more in federally backed mortgages available to people at risk of default, providing incentive for lenders to avoid foreclosure. President Bush and Republicans like John Duncan of Tennessee don't like it.
They don't want us to bail out people who have taken out loans that they couldn't afford.
But Democrat Kathy Castor says there's a real housing crisis.
I urge my Republican colleagues not to turn a blind eye to the hardworking families across America that are being squeezed.
Democrats also want to help states buy up abandoned houses, which are dragging whole neighborhoods down. Bob, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The National Association of Realtors says it expects home sales to be flat for the next couple of months, then improve over the summer. The U.S. military revealed today that a Kuwaiti released from the Guantanamo